Thank you very much. My name is Representative Patty Bellock. I'm the co-chair of the COGFA committee. I'll be chairing the meeting. Senator Schoenberg is not here today. And we'd like the clerk to call the roll, please. Here.
Okay, co-chair Bellock.
Here.
Senator Frerichs. Senator Murphy.
Here.
Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe. Representative Riley.
Here.
Senator Schmidt. Senator Schoenberg. Senator Severson. Senator Trotter. Representative Tryon. 5 members.
Thank you very much. We have some other local legislators with us. I'd like to introduce them. We have Senator Pat McGuire here with us. We have a representative of Representative Jack McGuire, Colleen Priboy. Representative Renee Kozol, Representative Emily Casey. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I'd just like to welcome you all here today. We'd like to thank Joliet Junior College for hosting us here in the Renaissance Center. What we've done is brought the COGFA committee here to you today, so we would ask that, we know it's an emotional issue, but we would ask that you would watch your time. We're trying to get it so that everybody that's here that wants to testify can testify, and that we have the same decorum that we would have in the Capitol. So we thank you for acknowledging and respecting that decorum. Thank you. I'd like to start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Our first panel will be the State of Illinois Executive Branch officials, the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice, if they would please come up to the panel table. All of them are coming in the same panel. All of them are coming at the same time. The Governor's Office of Management and Budget and the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission will have representatives from all of those. We would ask that you introduce yourself, please. I don't think it's on. Move it to the left, the top button.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Chairman Bellock, Chairman Schoenberg's not. members of the commission, my name is Austin Batis, and I am an associate director in the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. I am here today to discuss the proposed closure of Joliet Illinois Youth Center. This closure and other closures and consolidations proposed in the fiscal year 13 budget are difficult. They impact every region in our state. They impact people's lives and people's jobs. They impact the youth housed at this facility. These decisions are difficult, but they are necessary. The Budget Office has the responsibility to manage the state's resources, which, as everyone is aware, are limited. The growing costs of pensions and Medicaid now make up 39% of state general revenue spending. That's $13.2 billion. If major changes are not made in these areas, more services and programs will need to be reduced. We call this the squeeze. For fiscal year 13, the governor introduced a GRF budget of $33.9 billion. This includes a 9.3% reduction in the budget for the Department of Juvenile Justice. Last week, the Illinois House passed a resolution signaling that it wants to make even deeper cuts than the governor's proposed budget. In the face of budget reality, the proposed closure of Joliet IYC seeks to cut inefficiency first by eliminating overcapacity. We have worked closely with the Department of Juvenile Justice to identify efficiencies in order to manage the budget. Statewide, the department is operating at 64% of capacity. This means nearly 4 out of every 10 beds are not being used. That's 570 beds. Given the current budget squeeze, the state cannot afford to be paying for inefficiency like this overcapacity. The closure of Joliet IYC will allow the state to use its resources more effectively and efficiently. I'd like to turn it over now to Director Bishop, who can provide more specifics to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, first of all, for having us today. I hope that all will be able to provide the necessary context for the decision to close IYC Joliet. As you are aware, DJJ, or the Department of Juvenile Justice, proposed FY13 budget includes the proposal to close 2 of its 8 facilities in Illinois youth centers. While decisions like these are always difficult, it is important to understand a couple of things. Research and studies across the nation have verified that strong diversion and aftercare programs are more successful for low and moderate risk juveniles than incarceration. There has been a continued decline in the Department of Juvenile Justice populations. We are currently at the lowest recorded population in the department's history, and the lowest recorded population was in 1985. And Illinois' fiscal situation mandates that the way we do business, we have to change, we have to operate differently. The FY13 proposed GRF request represents a 9.4% decrease compared to FY12's appropriation and a 9.3% decrease from our FY12 spending. Because 90% of our budget is allocated to the running of facilities, these cuts and the decline in population require that we close facilities. We have to make changes to address today's budget reductions while keeping in mind the department's long-term vision of a more effective, rehabilitative, and therapeutic system that is able to meet the needs of the large percent of our youth that are admitted with under-resolved mental health issues, substance abuse issues, maltreatment issues, and also trauma issues. We also know that 17 other states have closed more than 50 juvenile facilities in the past 4 years, and that these states have not seen an uptick in juvenile crime rates. California, for instance, between 1996 and 2010, California reduced their population by 85%. Juvenile crime rates during that time also declined during the period of de-incarceration. Texas, between 2006 and 2010, reduced its population by over half, while juvenile arrests fell by 10%. This rehabilitative, therapeutic system must not only take into account internal programs of each of our facilities, but also the facility plant environment of facilities, such as physical structure and location of reception and classification centers. This is Harrisburg down south is a reception and classification center, and St. Charles up north. To move our vision forward, DJJ's, or Department of Juvenile Justice, FY13 budget incorporates a rebalancing of services and also programming. A 2009 analysis of over 309 studies concluded that therapeutic intervention philosophy produces an average improvement in recidivism rates of 12%. Programming that centers on discipline yielded negative results in terms of discipline. These programs are also a huge cost saving to the state. Nationwide, community-based programs average between $6,000 and $9,000 per youth, whereas typical stay in juvenile facility is on an average $70,000 for between 9 and 12 months. In FY13, we will continue to build on programs that make evidence-based practice or takes evidence-based practice into account, such as Cook County's aftercare pilot and the step-down program at Pierre Marquette. And each of these programs, they are pilot, but we are having them validated by research and studies and evaluation by Chapin Hall and the University of Chicago. We believe that DJJ's FY13 budget approach and underlying strategy take into account the multiple dynamics of juvenile justice reform by these points. Continuing to run 6 secured facilities across the state of Illinois, from St. Charles to the north to Harrisburg in the south, providing ongoing professional development to our staff to help ensure they have access to new information and techniques, and then moving to a continuum of care that leverages evidence-based, cost-effective approaches that provide the support youth need in their communities to help them be successful. I thank you for your time and welcome any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Would you like to take the questions? Should we take them individually? I think we'll take them now as we go along. Senator Murphy.
You only borrow the chairs, Mike. You don't take it. Director, thank you for your testimony. And frankly, I agree with a lot of what you have in there. As I look at the numbers on Joliet and some of the other facilities in the area, and you mentioned St. Charles being a
reception
hub, my biggest concern with the proposal that you have is that these are maximum security individuals at Joliet, that it's my understanding your plan will have them being spread out to differing other DJJ facilities if Joliet is closed. Is that accurate?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Now, are there any maximum security caliber offenders at any of those other facilities now?
Yes. We have max security youth down in Harrisburg, and then in our reception and classification center at St. Charles, for instance, youth are classified at St. Charles, Harrisburg, and for the females at Warrenville. And it's during that time that youth's security level, let's say, are determined, and there are several factors that go into determining a youth's classification. And it's about 4 different categories, whether or not they're violent, they run risks, other type issues. And so the classification level is determined at those specific reception and classification centers. So those youth who are deemed max at some point could be at St. Charles for a period of time prior to, at this point, being transferred or sent to Joliet.
But I understand for that classification period, but thereafter, are there any convicted murderers at any of the other medium security facilities after they have been classified?
Yes, it is. No, there are none. There are none. There are none. They're at Joliet.
Excuse me. This is what I mean about maintaining the decorum of the Capitol, please.
Yeah. Right. There are youth. Let me clarify. There are youth that are adjudicated that may be at St. Charles. So, yes, the answer is yes. There are some that may for a moment be at IYC St. Charles.
And is that during the classification period?
No.
And under what circumstances would they be at St. Charles after the classification period?
That could be a host of reasons, Senator. Again, the classification process in terms of assessments, in terms of some other type issues there. So there's not one particular reason that a youth may stay as opposed to the 7 to 14 days and stay more 30 days or more. There are different reasons that could happen. So I couldn't pigeonhole one particular reason.
But in general, the concept of classifying mm-hmm. is to put these individuals in an appropriate security level for the facility for the risk that they that they cause. Is that fair? And I guess I believe we need to close facilities. I think we have to do that. I share your view on that. That being said, we also have to do it in the way that makes the most sense. And I want to understand, in this instance, we have, as you mentioned, a declining population throughout DJJ. Would it not be easier to utilize some of the space at Joliet? And easier is not the right word. Would it not be safer to leave the maximum security, which I presume includes people who have been found guilty of murder and rape, at the maximum security facility, and then tailor the portion that you're not using here at Joliet and allow for some medium security to come over, say, maybe from Chicago or maybe from St. Charles, and utilize this space that's already capable of handling the maximum security rather than transferring out maximum security caliber offenders to places that aren't currently trained to handle them?
Right. Well, couple of things, Senator, is that the youth have been charged with these crimes, so I'm not diluting it. And so when you say convicted of, they've been charged with the crimes, and then those a large percent of the youth, let's say at Joliet, are waiting trial determinations, either back in Cook County or some other county.
But obviously, you classify them because of the risk. So, thank you for correcting me on that.
Yes, sir. Again, at the end, we're looking at what makes sense to us in terms of the long-term vision of the department, and we believe at the end of the day, the remaining structures and facilities are more conducive to our long-term planning of having not only a structure that's more rehabilitative in sight and look and environment and ambience and all of those things, in addition to the fact that all of our staff, security staff, have the same training. So there's no unique training that staff at Joliet have that's unique or separate from our other staff that either have monitored and secured either max youth or medium or minimum security youth. With that said, though, even notwithstanding closing discussion, what we've been moving toward as a department is to provide the professional development enhancement of our staff so that they can not only secure youth but also work to be more engaging and be more proactive in diffusing situations. And so that's been a vision and a plan, and some of the parts of that have been implemented already. But again, at the end, we're looking at cost saving also. And so that's part of it in terms of the tremendous budgetary pressure that we're under.
Is there a difference in the structure, the physical nature of a maximum security DJJ facility and a minimum security DJJ facility? There's got to be some distinction between the two, I assume. Otherwise, why would you have the classification? So help me understand the differences. If the employees are trained the same and capable of handling both, what's the difference between maximum and medium? Is it physical plant or is it something else?
I think it's physical plant. You may see more of a barbed wire effect, let's say, in those that are deemed more maxed than others. Then for instance, Joliet, which was built in 1957, it has a more adult look to it in terms of a prison effect. And so those are some of the real things that we looked at when we sorted through. And we can sit here and I can talk to about each of my eight facilities. I'm sorry. Oh, I can speak on each of our eight facilities, and I can talk specifically about the strengths and also the needs of each facility. And so at the end of the day, as we sorted through this decision that's impacted by this 9.3% cut and the fact that there is no other way that the Department of Juvenile Justice can reduce costs of that magnitude other than closing facilities, we said what makes sense in terms of the direction that the state of Illinois is going in terms of what its juvenile justice system is going to look like. that's in line with what the national experts and the national data and all the studies show, that we need to move in that direction. So at the end, that's what it was based on.
And I don't disagree with that premise, and I am not suggesting to you that you don't come up with the 9.3 or 4% cut. I'm not suggesting that at all, but I do think there are some opportunities within this on how we do it that are important to analyze and for us to understand. And so back to the question, though, on the difference in the physical plant, will there need to be upgrades at the medium security facilities to which Joliet's current occupants will be transferred if in fact Joliet closes?
I mean, yes, sir. Actually, at St. Charles, is the one that we were looking at. Some
is it specific to, because all these places need improvements, they need
right.
capital investment, all of them do. But I want to narrow it specifically to, are we going to have to spend money to get these medium security juvenile justice facilities upgraded to be able to handle maximum security individuals?
In a couple of ways, I'll answer that. In one of the facilities, we're looking at some upgrades in terms of locks and in terms of windows, and as part of an already existing capital development plan that's been in place since FY11, FY12. And so that's one. Then also, if we transition these youth to other facilities, we will have to add the additional staff. And CFO Brian Gleckler would talk about that.
But that had happened anyway. I mean, that's not specific to the maximum medium.
No, not.
If you brought medium people here,
yes, sir.
You'd have to add staff.
That's
right?
Correct.
So, okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
So, there are some costs that I can be more specific and get it to the committee in terms of what those specific costs are as it pertains to this small piece of our capital development expenditure plan that would be specific, let's say, to a possible transition of youth there that are maximum.
Okay, and I would like to have, before we vote, a better understanding of the logistics of the difference between the facilities and how what are now medium facilities are going to handle people who have classified as being a maximum risk. One other area.
We can provide that.
I appreciate that. No, I know. And you guys have been very responsive as a department, and I appreciate it. The concept of plant and costs and so forth, part of the overall analysis you said of trying to get to a point where a few years down the road we're running, you know, leaner, more efficient, and actually still serving the needs as your charter requires. One of the things I would assume you're going to have to look at is how much infrastructure investment is necessary at the various facilities, say, over the next 5 years. Can you compare for me between the St. Charles and Chicago facilities and this Joliet facility? How much an investment is expected to be needed in the plant over the next, say, 5 years for those three facilities? Because part of the decision, I assume, if one facility is going to require $250 million in upgrades in the near term, and another one's going to require 10, and the other one's going to require 10, obviously having $250 million on the scale for one of them is going to sort of go against them in the overall calculus. Mm-hmm. So how much was that factored into your decision with regard to Joliet versus, say, St. Charles and Chicago?
You want to speak? Right.
Senator, as far as capital improvement needs at the various facilities, as you mentioned, there are needs at every facility. However, when we looked at comparing one facility versus another as we went through this process, we felt that St. Charles was a facility that did better maintain the longer-term vision for the department as compared to a Joliet. However, there are significant capital needs at St. Charles.
How do those compare St. Charles to Joliet?
Over the next 5 years, we're projecting projects totaling about $18.5 million in needs at St. Charles. That includes some of the projects that are currently in process at that facility. As compared to Joliet, we're anticipating about $6.3 million in capital improvement needs at this facility if it were to remain operational over the next 5 years. You mentioned,
given that the St. Charles facility is going to be more expensive in terms of the upgrade, I presume there is a value nonetheless that you put overall that makes the $12 million difference or thereabout and the increased risk from transferring maximums to mediums worth it. And I guess what we need to understand is what is that rationale that makes that worth it in your estimation in the end. And again, I want to be very clear. I think you do need to close two facilities. I support you in that endeavor 100%. I just want to understand why you've chosen the one that you've chosen and understand the decision-making process so that I can be as informed when I need to vote on this as I can be.
Okay. Yep.
Can you get me, whether either now or sometime between now and our vote, the understanding, the rationale as to why St. Charles, despite having a larger capital price tag and being medium rather than maximum, better fits into the long-term plan than Joliet.
Right, and we'll get that to you, but just to frame it a little bit, in terms of we talk about max and we talk about security classification, part of the long-term vision of the department, and again, in line with national studies in other states, is that we look to move not all the way away from looking at max and those security type labels that based on the committing offense, but start to focus on each youth's individual needs. Again, because we have a large percent of our youth who have mental health, substance abuse, and other type needs. So even as we sit here today, Senator, the decision to put a youth, for instance, at IYC Kiwani, which is our special treatment program and also our juvenile sex offender program, the treatment needs, the preponderance of treatment needs and the critical treatment needs of youth supersedes their security level. And so we have youth who may be max, but if their security needs say that they need this high-level mental health or high-level sex offender treatment, then those youth will go toward that particular programming. The long-term plan is, again, to move less from looking at and just sending a youth because the committing offense suggested that youth is max, but to put that youth or transfer that youth to a host site that can more conducively meet his or her individual treatment needs.
And I don't mean to minimize the importance of treatment needs. I do think it's important. I accept the premise. That being said, I would also caution you that it is also dangerous, I think, to minimize the significance of the severity of the crime that brought this person into the system in the first place. A murderer, although a minor, has still murdered somebody. And
totally
we
agree.
Can try to work out the issues with that person and rehabilitate that person. But on the spectrum,
yes,
Don't diminish or disregard the fact that this person did, in fact, murder somebody.
Yeah, and let me clarify that. I totally agree, because in all of our planning and all of our thinking, security and safety is prominent. But along with that, then, we also must address the mental health need for those youth. Let me clarify, those youth that are going back to the community, and 90%, 95% of the youth are targeted to return to somebody's community.
Mm-hmm.
And so our charge is this. Yes, we definitely, safety is prominent. But at the same time, if those youth are coming back to anybody's community in this room, my question is, how do we want them to return? And so as we're looking at this challenging time and looking at this challenging budget and looking at the fact that these youth are going to return to somebody's community, Our challenge and our mission is to do as much as we can to rehabilitate these young men, rehabilitate these young ladies, to develop our staff so that they would have better capacity. Our staff are well trained in what they do, but we also understand there needs to be some enhancement and some supports so that they can then become more engaging of youth. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish.
And just in closing, I don't know that anybody here disagrees with the general framework of what you just outlined. We do have challenges. They will result in facility closures. The devil is always in the details, and we can have, I think, an honest debate about the best way to serve the people within the limited resources that we have. I appreciate your answering my questions and look forward to some more follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take other questions from committee members. Representative Poe.
Thank you. And thank all of you for being here. A little bit on the budget. Could you work it down for me on how many youth we have here, how many employees, what the opportunities are going to be for employees? Can someone go through that for me? We didn't hear about that yet.
Right. We currently there are approximately 227 employees that will be impacted if Joliet were to close. The annual budget for Joliet is approximately $19.7 million. That we're estimating a fiscal year 13 savings of $17.1 million through the closure. There is about $5.3 million of transition costs by relocating the youth from Joliet to other facilities. So you have a net savings in FY13 of $11.8 million associated with the closure of Joliet.
Okay, opportunities for the employees.
We have added staff at the facilities that will receive these youth, whether it be St. Charles.
Does this
Chicago.
Staff have first chance at those jobs?
Yeah, we will work with the labor organizations. There's a process in their contract in regards to a layoff, and they will be. For budgeted vacancies that exist, there will be they will have opportunities to go into those positions where they're offered. Now,
How many available do you have?
As of today, we have at our facilities, and this is statewide. We have approximately 61. We're estimating 61 budgeted vacancies as of today. Now, the agency does attrit out approximately 10 staff per month, so. That number will grow as we get closer to the project, or as we get closer to the closure of the facility.
So to absorb these youth, you're only going to have to how many extra staff you got to put on then around the state?
Well, we assumed 40 additional staff, but we already had some existing vacancies throughout the agency that also need to be filled as well. So. As of today, the vacancy number in our institutions is 61. And another important thing to point out, in regards to the layoff process and the filling of vacancies in that process, the Department of Corrections and the Department of Juvenile Justice are treated as one agency in that process. So there may also be opportunities within the Department of Corrections that these staff will have available for them. However, as we know, there's closures and layoffs that will be occurring in the Department of Corrections as well.
What's the cost here per youth?
It's approximately $85,000 per youth.
Okay, and you're telling me that's going to go way down then, right? If you're going to save $17 million over a few years, that has to go down somewhere.
The overall cost for the agency will decrease, yes.
So you're looking maybe at 40,000, 50,000, what are you looking at down the road?
As the population, it depends on what happens with the overall population. The trend for the population has been a downward decline. So as your population decreases, one of the effects is your per capita cost increase because you lose an economy of scale. So it's hard to project what that per capita cost is going to be 2 or 3 years down the road if the population continues to decline, as we hope that it will.
So what's the cost at St. Charles, for example?
Right now, the cost at St. Charles is approximately $76,000 per youth.
Okay. Well, let's get off that a little bit and go back to the director. And the director, you talked about the long-term vision. And I guess what bothers me about this process that we've all been in for a number of years is this, if it was a vision and a plan for the future, I guess I'm always a lot more apt to go along with something. But what really bothers me about the process we're in right now, it seems to me it's budget-driven rather than a long-term vision. And so evidently we keep talking about the vision. I'm assuming there's a five-year program where we're going to be 5 years from now. I also think the commission will be presented what your vision is, because I'm hoping this vision didn't happen in the last few months after the governor announced that we're going to have cuts. I would like to see to the committee if you could get us that 5-year plan.
Definitely.
Thank you.
And just so that it can be made public, no, the vision did not start. I was brought on in August of 2010, effective August of 2010, then we laid out a 3 to 5 year vision for the department, and within that vision was to reduce the population. And that reduction now was just not Department of Juvenile Justice in isolation of all the other systems that make up the department, I mean, not the department, but the juvenile justice system. And so we're operating in a continuum of care. The youth who are coming in from the local level, the county level, there are programs and principals that are at place that are assisting in that. And so I just want to make sure that it had no relationship to in terms of our 3 to 5 year plan in terms of what was announced.
Well, as a legislator, I think we'd appreciate more if we'd seen some of the plans before we've seen the budgeting problem that it's going to create in the future. And I guess we're all a little suspicious that sometimes we think it is budget-driven more than quality of a vision in the future. Thank you.
Representative Riley, are there other questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Director, thank you and your staff for being here. I just want to preface my comments on saying that in the time that you have been on board, you've been very receptive and some of your ideas and how you deal with other ancillary agencies, especially at the local level, have been exemplary. So I just want to compliment you on that. But
thank you.
As you know, generally when people preface something like that, you know what's coming.
Should I duck?
but in all honesty, I think that what Representative Poe said was right. You know, we really, you know, there's an expression, and it's really been bastardized. It's not the way the original quote was said, but people say perception is reality. Well, perception isn't reality. Perception is perception. Reality is reality. But I would say, the vision notwithstanding, when you came on board, it does look, for real, like many of these issues with a lot of the closures. We're dealing with closures in a lot of other facilities, not just DJJ, were basically driven on budgetary concerns. Now, I don't think that there's a one of us up here that don't, we're the legislative branch, that don't understand the myriad concerns and the gravity of the budget issues. I do think, though, that there are departments under the governor whose charge is to deal with populations that are vulnerable and that need special care, and yours is one of them. One of the concerns that I have, and, you know, I've got my own, and I've also got a lot of concerns from practitioners, is the fact that, you know, we talk about the population decreasing. That's a good thing. Maybe it means that the overall system, not just with you, but law enforcement and everything else is working, the judicial system. But having said that, you can't talk about the population decreasing without talking about the geography of the population. many of these folks still come from the Chicago metropolitan area, correct? And many people have always had a concern about how far they have to travel, you know, to see their loved one who's incarcerated. Now, what's the plan if Joliet IYC goes away? What's the plan for transitioning? A lot of folks have a concern that, you know, many of these youth will go further downstate, which would make it even more difficult for them to be, you know, visited and so forth.
Correct.
What's your response to that?
Yes, and definitely, and those were some of our thoughts even prior to the closure discussion. How can we make youth more available to families? And so some of those youth, at least for a time, because this is a continuous process in terms of us shaking out all the things that we have to do as it pertains to the Department of Juvenile Justice. So some of those youth that go to Kewaunee would be further away. So some of our discussion is
in Harrisburg.
In Harrisburg. So some of our discussions are even looking at video visitation. So we're looking technology. We're looking electronic. How can you have families who have long distance to travel, how can they avail themselves to have visitation? And that's something that's already going on in child welfare and other systems, where video visitation is one part of the visitation plan. And in other instances, we may look at how do we assist parents and families to getting to these locations. And those are the things that have to be flushed out.
But you see, a lot of these issues have been around a long time. And one of the things about, you know, research and so forth, we all avail ourselves of it. So we know about everybody knows about all the studies, and sometimes studies can be cherry-picked. Well, this is one that agrees with my particular public policy point of view, and so this is the one I'm going to look at. The issue of video visitation has been around a long time, but I first heard about it in the realm of the adult justice system, not necessarily the juvenile justice system. Wouldn't you say that there's a sort of a slight difference in maybe doing that with an adult versus a child who needs more direct contact, irrespective of what that kid did? I mean, let's face it, they are visited by their loved ones.
Yes. No, that wouldn't be the optimum. That's an additional resource because there are geography challenges. And again, I have to go back again to the concept that has already been used in different states and also even in Illinois for youth that are in foster care, that geography-wise they are in residential or treatment programs that are far distant. And so it's not the optimum. Whenever possible, yes, you want to have direct contact, eye contact, hold hand hugs with family members. And so I wouldn't dare sit here to try to dilute that principle. So in looking at our decision, so there are no youth that are going to be going to Harrisburg, by the way, from Joliet. So I just want to clarify that.
How about Kewaunee or
Kewaunee,
Murfreesboro?
St. Charles. No, not Murfreesboro. No. Not Harrisburg. And so Kewaunee, St. Charles, Chicago.
All right. An advocate who's in my area, who has been a nonpareil in the juvenile justice system, had a concern about the Redeploy Illinois program, the fact that it was not in the south suburbs were not availing themselves of this program. Can you, is that true, not true? Or?
Well, that's a DHS, Department of Human Services program. But in terms of us looking at our department as collaborating and support of trying to divert youth and prevent youth from coming in, we are in support of that. But that's not under my domain.
That's true, but it's part of that whole panoply of programs that people feel. Because there is a feeling that they're just not being served, and so this was, you know, one of the issues that came to me. And in general,
just clarification that the youth aren't being served.
Yeah, that essentially some of these issues, like, you know, what we're here, you know, here today, that there's sort of disproportionate treatment. with regard to these youth who come from the Chicagoland area and the fact that they will be transitioned to other places. Like I just said, this is what, the perception, may be. And I think that, as I said earlier, the difference between perception and reality,
yeah.
I think that maybe more can be done, if that's not the case, to get out there in the public and dispel some of these issues.
Great.
Earlier, one of the gentlemen talked about the $11.7 million in savings, the 17 or whatever it was, then the five that would be necessary to, for other things that needed to be done. One of the concerns I've always had with all of these closings is when we look at some of the economic impact studies that basically show that the diminution of local economic activity is much more than what would be saved. Now, that may not necessarily be your concern, but, I was looking at the study that said that basically 219 direct jobs would be lost, 87 indirect jobs, that's 306, then $30.6 million in total economic output in the region essentially would be lost. No, that's not your concern, but that is an independent study that says that this is what would be the impact if this center goes away. Now, how would you address that?
What we go back to is the overall state budget, and the governor introduced a budget of $33.9 billion. Last week, the House of Representatives voted to cut another big chunk
from that money
to pay some old bills. So we're faced with this budget reality that there's a lot less money out there to go around in the state budget. And when you take the Medicaid issue and the pension issue squeezing everything out, that's what we're left with. We need to make tough decisions here.
The decisions, are tough ones, but I think going forward, and this is just the last statement I'm going to make, going forward, you've got a selling job to do, not just to us. I mean, we're playing our executive branch, legislative branch checks and balances right here. But even though you're not elected, you still have a responsibility to the folks sitting behind you and the broader population to explain what it is, that you're doing. Because one of the things that's happening is that you're talking about care and continuity of care and caring for the people. And at the same time, out of the other side, of your mouth, and I don't mean that pejoratively, you talk about cost savings. And folks are going to ask the question, well, which is it? How can you take care of these vulnerable populations, these, in some cases, dangerous populations, and talk about, your plans and studies and all of those kinds of things, and say, well, but we have to also be concerned fiscally. The budget of the state is being cut. We're all partially responsible for that. But the folks outside, they still see $33 billion. And so they might say to you, how do you best deploy those monies, especially since some of these kinds of concerns have a much greater, social impact. So, you've got a tough job, and hopefully we can work together to come up with something, but I just hope you understand, the gravity of the situation. Yeah.
Thank you, Representative.
Representative McCasey, followed by Representative Neckerts and then Poe.
Thank you, Chairwoman Bellick. And thank you to colleagues here on the panel. Many of you have addressed some of the questions that I had. Director, this morning you've talked a couple times about a long-term vision for the agency. And I think I've heard you say a couple times that every individual youth has individual needs that you need to meet, right? And I think you probably would agree with me that one of those needs for every single individual in the facility, whether it is a member of the census or a staff member, that security is a big concern, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's really kind of where my question is coming from. The facility, IYC Joliet, is the only maximum security facility for males in the state of Illinois right now, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you have filed some documents talking about transferring population to Kewaunee, to St. Charles, and to Chicago, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Can you tell me about Chicago? What kind of programs are being operated there right now?
IYC Chicago, they have education, they have substance abuse, they have mental health, they have what's called a halfway back program for youth who violate parole, let's say, and they come into the halfway back program, similar to the PRP program at Joliet.
Okay.
So all of the programs, all of the facilities have the basic programming. There are some that may have some unique programming, such as a particular therapeutic group or a particular behavior group, but all facilities have education, some vocational component, some substance abuse component, some mental health component.
Okay. Would you agree with me that the population at Chicago is, it's not a maximum security population?
No, it's not.
Okay. So the plan before the commission today says that you want to integrate maximum security youth with a population that's not maximum security,
clarification, we're not integrating or blending populations. Those youth in the facilities will be separate.
Okay.
And so that's not a blending or an integration of the medium security youth with the maximum security
youth.
Okay,
perfect. So there's not going to be a blending. So then can you explain to me what is going to happen? For example, I know St. Charles right now. Does St. Charles have facilities that allow for segregating of a maximum and a minimum security population?
Yes, it does.
Right now at St. Charles?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Right. And also just a point of clarification, the director of the Department of Juvenile Justice has the authority to designate any facility in terms of these classification. And so that's a right that the Department of Juvenile Justice has.
Okay. There are capital improvements that need to be made at St. Charles to accommodate a maximum security population so that there's not blending. Is that right?
Well, not necessarily blending, but for the place that those youth may go, then yes, we are looking at doing some modifications such as locks,
okay, so
such as windows, such as some doors, and so on, yes.
So there need to be modifications that are going to cost money, right?
That's correct.
Okay, how much money will it cost to equip St. Charles so that we don't have a blending of populations?
You have that number? Yeah. Total, including the existing capital development project roofs on other places, is about $4
million. $4 million for St. Charles?
That's correct.
Okay.
But most of that, is not specific to any modifications, let's say, to make something more secure. We have 6 cottages that need roofs, and there's some other things. And so that's a pot and a mixture of capital development projects that were already earmarked and they were already targeted to be done.
There's a population that's currently housed at IYC Joliet, commonly referred to as a consent decree population.
That's correct.
And those individuals have court dates, right, in Cook County?
That's correct.
Okay. So where do you propose that those individuals would be transferred?
At this point, we're targeting some of those youth going to, actually, the bulk of those youth will be going to St. Charles, 44 to Kewaunee, and then I think it's 74, 72, something like that, that may be going to St. Charles.
Okay, so a number of them are going to go to Kewaunee?
Yes.
Okay, and Kewaunee is farther away from Cook County, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you would agree with me that every time you take a member or one of the youths out of the facility, that there are increased security risks for both that individual as well as for staff, right?
Those youth have to be properly monitored. Yes,
okay.
any youth, it not necessarily a consent decree youth, but any okay. youth that's rented or transported has to have the appropriate staff to monitor and provide supervision, yes.
Okay. And so now the time period that individual will have to be appropriately monitored by the staff is going to be longer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But
And I would imagine that we compensate the staff, right?
All of those factors that you're referencing are figured into our budget.
Okay. And can I ask you a couple of questions about the current facility at Joliet as well? There have been some capital improvements there recently,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
Okay. There were upgrades to the roof at
yes.
the facilities? Okay. And just even recently, there have been security upgrades to beds, or safety upgrades, rather?
Throughout our system, yes,
okay.
concurrently.
When was the X house at IYC Joliet built?
When was the what?
The X house. The X house, I believe it's called. There's a facility that was constructed just in 1997. Is that right?
Well,
okay.
It's been confirmed somewhere around 1997. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I have any further questions at this time. Thanks, Representative Bellick.
Thank you very much, Representative McCasey.
Oh,
Representative Nekritson, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I don't really have any questions. I would just like to give some context for what we're doing here. I think, Representative Bellick, you and I are the only ones that have sat through every single one of these hearings, and you've sat through every minute. I've actually missed a few minutes of those. And I have to say that every facility that has been on the list to close is unique. It has a special expertise, a specially trained workforce to deal with the unique with the population, and you do a very good job of that. And there's good reasons not to close any of these facilities. But as I sit here and listen to some of my colleagues' question about whether or not these decisions should be budget-driven, or of course they should not be budget-driven. But the fact is that they are. And we are in the midst of putting together a budget where we are having to put an additional $1 billion into the pension systems to pay for the pensions that all of you hope to receive, and we would like to have you receive them so that the system does not go bankrupt. So that's a priority for us. We are putting together a budget where we're about to cut $2.7 billion out of an $11 billion Medicaid program. Don't think that people aren't going to be hurt by that. They are. People are not going to get health care. They're not going to get services. And that's going to have some rather dire consequences. All those decisions are not because I want to make those decisions, but they are very budget-driven. So everything we're doing here is budget-driven. The Department of Human Services is going to, under the budget that the House just adopted, or the outline that the House just adopted, is going to have to cut another $200 million. Those are vulnerable populations. These are aged, disabled, mentally ill, substance abusers, all those people, and yet we are going to be forced to cut another $200 million out of those budgets. Again, people are going to be hurt. They're not going to get services. We're going to have to cut education, which in large measure leads to the problems that the youth face in the system that we're all here talking about. Again, major cuts that are going to negatively impact our education system here in the state of Illinois. So these are the we're not doing this in isolation. We're not looking at any of these institutions in isolation. We're looking at them in the larger context of of trying to balance a budget so that we create some fiscal stability in the state so that we can move ahead and rebuild some of those systems that we've unfortunately had to tear down. The menu of options we have is not between good and better, or even between bad and good. It's between bad and worse. And so those are the balancing acts that those of us that in the legislature and in the executive branch have to be looking at. With that being said, I think there's a rather famous politician in this region who said, "Never waste a good crisis." These are decisions that we are having to make in the light of that crisis, and hopefully that they can be more policy based, which is what I hope the Department of Corrections is doing, and I appreciate the questions of my colleagues to make sure that we're doing that. But these unfortunately are budget driven decisions, and those are the challenges that we face.
Thank you very much, Representative Poe.
Yeah, just for a quick follow-up to the budget people, the numbers I was given earlier is $85,000 here per youth. It's $76,000 at St. Charles. So by taking these other youth up there, is that price per, is it going to go down? I alluded to that a little bit earlier. But if you're looking at $9,000, all right, and if you got 220 of them, that's a savings just a little less than $2 million. So you're going to have to explain to me where that other $15 million is at, because I must be missing something.
The current year appropriation for IYC Joliet is $19.6 million. In fiscal year 13, we're to operate the facility for 1 month, we'll need approximately $2.3 million to operate it for 1 month. So the difference in the Joliet appropriation itself is $17.1 million.
I'm talking about the total budget.
Okay.
So your budget, you're moving these youth to other places, and so you're actually saving $9,000 per student at the end of the day, unless you're going to drop that $76,000 down to about $10,000 a person, and then you're going to save your $15 million. But you're not going to save it because that cost follows the youth.
But built in.
The only way you're going to save money is make sure it's cheaper, because your total budget is going to be the same amount.
The marginal cost at St. Charles, the per capita cost includes all of the staffing that are already there.
$85,000 a person.
We do agree that by increasing the population there, that we are going to have to add some staff. But the cost that follows the youth is not actually the per capita cost, it's the marginal cost. And the marginal cost is the cost to feed the individuals, it's the cost to provide the medical care, it's the cost to clothe them. That cost at St. Charles currently is approximately $17,500 per youth. The largest piece of the cost is the staffing cost when you figure a per capita cost. So the actual cost associated with the population that we're going to move there, if you wanted to do a cost analysis of it, $17,500 would be the actual cost associated with providing food, providing medical care, providing the clothing, and providing the treatment that those youth are going to need.
New capital needs, more staff, all those other things. That has to be added in there somewhere.
Yes.
So I guess you should be given different numbers then, too, then. What's that actual cost today at St. Charles? If it's $17,000, $18,000 here, that's what it is up there?
That's the cost.
What is it here, then? Same amount?
At Joliet, the marginal cost is approximately $12,000 per youth.
That sounds cheaper. So we're not saving much money there either, then, are we? I don't know, the numbers don't seem to be adding up.
Thank you very much. I just have a question before we move on to the last member of your panel. Director Bishop, when we looked over some of what you were doing, can you give a definition of the difference between a minimum security person and a maximum?
I'll share with you. This is
just briefly.
This is our screening instrument, and each youth's classification is determined at the reception and classification center. And so there are four basic categories, I'll say, criteria that's used to score a youth.
Okay.
And so the specific criteria are the seriousness of the current offense, the clinical history, a criminal history, the aggression, whether or not they're involved in street gangs, and then the age is taken into consideration. So there are like four areas. And so depending on where that youth scores in those categories, then he or she would get a cumulative score. And so 0 to 10, let's say, would be minimum. 11 to 20 would be medium. And then 21 to 20, 35 or 25 would be max. And so there are a number of factors that's okay. done on an individual basis. And then every quarter thereafter, each youth then is what's called reclassified. They go through a reclassification to see whether or not his or her progress, run risk, security risk, a whole host of factors to see if those things have changed, where that youth can either be downgraded appropriately or increased in terms of classification appropriately, and that's done every quarter.
Okay. I guess my question was more to what would be the typical offenses, you know, in that, but I guess it involves more of the categories. Okay. So one of the other questions that we're, and a lot of the other members have touched on, mm-hmm. but with the moving forward, the commission wrote you a letter recently regarding a violation of the Facilities Closure Act and asking you to stop any other movement forward in upgrading St. Charles. Can you just give us your response to that?
Yes. We actually forwarded a letter in response to that, although we believe that it's not a violation, but in deference to the concerns by the commission, we agreed and we put a hold on those plans.
Okay. I guess when we looked at what was going on at St. Charles, we felt in your recommendation on page 4
yes.
that you were talking about not just projects that had been on the books to do at St. Charles, but projects that were definitely geared towards upgrading for more maximum security youth.
Yes, for the possibility, and also with an understanding, and I'll say from my perspective, that nothing was done that impacted or touched the facility in question, Joliet, in terms of closure. And so the enhancements that we're talking about at St. Charles are not only will be beneficial for those youth that will come, but it's also necessary whether or not Joliet closes or not. But we have stopped that process in deference to the concerns raised by the commission and have forwarded a letter to you all to that effect.
Thank you. I just wasn't sure if the rest of the commission. I did see the letter. I wasn't sure if the rest of the commissioners had seen the letter. And so you have put that as the date is May 5th. That would be held off until, correct. Thank you. And we understand, as Representative Neckert says, that you've been charged because of the financial issues with the budget to do this. Our concern, or my concerns and some of the others, I think, is just to our understanding of same thing when we have gone to some of the hearings and the closures of the developmentally disabled, that it be done in a comprehensive way. And in some of the issues that have been brought up today, there are some questions there as to, you know, I mean, how do you keep those people secure if you're putting maximum security people in with minimum? You think that, I guess we would have to go along with what you're suggesting, but there are a lot of concerns there. And then the people that would be sent to Kewaunee mm-hmm. in some of the things, if those kids have to go to the courtroom in Chicago, I think that's a 2.5-hour ride. Another concern that you brought up is parents and video. And I know that the aftercare that very much juvenile justice is about, we want to make sure that there's aftercare and families, you know, to be able to work with their children.
But
so.
Just as a last comment, unless there are some other questions, in terms of the population of youth that deem consent, and the bulk of those will be going to Kewaunee and then some to St. Charles. But we are in active and, I think, important discussions with the county around the status of those youth in terms of the county possibly taking custody of those youth. And so then that would be one of the strategies in terms of alleviating youth being further away from their home, but actually being back in their committing county, which is Cook County.
Well, and I guess several of the members brought up the questions regarding, I don't think anything here that you have documented, and that's one of the most important things of the hearing, is the cost savings, because you have not netted out the cost in what your savings was, because your answer to the question when Representative Murphy asked you that is, what was the exact cost of netting out the capital projects at St. Charles that you would have to move forward with, and I don't think you had a definite answer on that.
Right. When we were talking about the net savings, we're talking about the net savings on general revenue.
Right.
The capital projects will be funded through capital bonds. So,
but
that is not you're correct, Representative. That was not factored in when we were discussing the net savings.
And that's an extremely important part of the hearing, because if we're to judge whether something should close, especially if it's a lot of it is financially driven, then it's important to know what if there actually is going to be a savings, or if when you do the capital projects, it's going to be twice as much. I mean, I guess in this hearing, we can't come to that conclusion. The other thing that in DOC, they always have to give how many staff are going to be laid off, and I think with DJJ, you did not provide that information.
That should be in the report. It should be in the report,
oh,
Madam Chair.
Okay. Well, I know you mentioned before like 200 and some. Was that
227
correct?
227 approximately. Yes,
it may be impacted.
That will be impacted.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with DOC, like where we were the other day, then they would mention if there were other opportunities in other locations. Is that mentioned in here?
We noticed that, and someone asked that question, but that's documented also. But there are some options.
Great.
But back to your question regarding the capital development, we will submit something that's more specific in terms of the cost, projected cost of said project.
Thank you very much. We would appreciate that. And we appreciate all your work and being here today. Thank you. Oh, one more question. Senator McGuire. And then we have one more panelist that we'd like to hear from.
Thank you. My curiosity is piqued by at least two changes in your plan, which I have noted since I received this one-page fact sheet about the governor's proposal to close IYC Joliet. Prior to today, this was the only material I received from the administration. And this sheet says that youth will be transferred to IYC Kewanee and IYC Harrisburg. Yet today, Director Bishop, you stated that no youth will be transferred from IYC Joliet to IYC Harrisburg. And my curiosity is also piqued by the starting and then stopping of the capital improvements, the construction up at the St. Charles facility. So, given the potentially serious consequences of closing the state's only maximum security facility for male offenders, these changes in DJJ's plan are worrisome to me. And I would like to know how you will inform the members of this commission and others of us as further changes in your plans are made.
Okay, just clarification. Yes, as we look at what is the most effective plan, so Harrisburg may have been mentioned in the early beginnings, and so after we sort out, and we're still sorting out, even though we have in this hearing, as we continue to move forward, we still would be looking at what's the most efficient, the most effective, and the right thing to do, and we will submit that. Any changes, pertinent changes, we will submit that. We've already spoke on the reason for us pausing on our capital development plan because the commission had concerns about why we were doing it, and so as opposed to continuing that, we agreed and we deferred that we'll pause for a moment and we try to work through that, and then after May 5th then, which would be the 50-day mark, I believe, we would be able to proceed with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We also have a formal submission. If you don't have a copy of it, the formal submission that we submitted to COGPA that you can get a copy of. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Todd, did you have any comments you wanted to make? Okay, thank you. Then I think we'll move on to the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commissioner, Julie Beal.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity on behalf of the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission.
As you know, the Juvenile Justice Commission is a bipartisan commission, geographically diverse, with representatives from many walks of juvenile justice avenues. There's state's attorneys, public defenders, community organizations, as well as law enforcement. The commission is required by law to provide advice to both the General Assembly and to the governor on issues of juvenile justice policy issues, which is why we're here today. And in this capacity, the commission has closely tracked the progress of the Department of Juvenile Justice in fulfilling its mission and the promising direction that it has taken under the leadership of Director Bishop. The Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission is here today, fully supports the governor's decision to close two facilities. We're not necessarily taking a position on which facilities, because that's really a decision for the Department of Juvenile Justice and for the governor. But DJJ's thoughtful proposal is fiscally responsible, protective of public safety, and consistent with the well-reasoned and well-researched best practices for youth involved in the juvenile justice system. I understand that your job today here is to analyze their proposal, and I would just like to share with you some uncontroverted facts that I think underlie their decision-making. The first and very important fact that I think some of you have noted already is that the number of youth incarcerated in Illinois has dramatically decreased, as has youth crime. As of last week, my understanding is that there was 1,023 youth incarcerated in DJJ prisons statewide. That number is less than half of what it was in 1997, when it was at its high of 2,300. Since DJJ was separated, as you all remember, from DOC in 2005, this trend downward has been steady. And with a capacity of 1,754, DJ census is currently 64%. Yet even though the juvenile prison population has lessened dramatically and there's hundreds of empty beds, not one Illinois juvenile prison has been closed yet. The good news around the nation and in Illinois is that crime, especially violent crime, has been steadily decreasing. Nationwide, the violent crime index arrest for juveniles has hit its all-time high in 1994, but as of 2009, the rate had fallen near 50% to its lowest level since 1980, and that's a stat from the Office of the Juvenile Delinquency and Protection. Illinois' experience has largely tracked this trend, and so the combination of less crime with improved evidence-based, community-based services has shown the need for DJJ beds to steadily decline. Many other states, as the director has indicated, have responded to the diminishing juvenile population in confinement by downsizing their juvenile prison systems and thereby shifting resources to community alternatives and improving programming within the remaining facilities. In fact, since 2007, 18 states have already closed 50 juvenile prisons, and 8 more are contemplated during this fiscal year. With less than 1,050 youth in 8 facilities in Illinois, it's time for Illinois to downsize its juvenile prison system and shift those savings to the treatment for kids in the community and the remaining facilities. Clearly, closing youth prisons is not a decision that anyone takes lightly. It requires thoughtful planning, wisdom, which has been evidenced here today. It is simply too costly, too inefficient, and too ineffective to spend Illinois' scarce resources on administrative overhead and empty cells. The second critical point is that Illinois' scarce resources, and this is a policy issue that you've all been alluding to, are better directed towards community-based services, where research has demonstrated that those services reduce recidivism and increase public safety. Closing underutilized youth prisons is not just another sacrifice that is made necessary because of the budget crisis in Illinois. It would be the right decision in any fiscal climate. Across the country, public officials are critically reexamining juvenile justice systems and finding that the old model of wholesale incarceration is just not working. The recidivism rates are just too high. Nationwide, states have started making the transition away from costly, ineffective prisons towards evidence-based practices. And today, Illinois can become firmly part of that sound future. Illinois has already been investing in alternatives to incarceration, as you alluded to, about Redeploy Illinois and the Youth Reentry DJJ's aftercare pilot. Not only does this closure make good policy sense, as we've talked about, it also makes good fiscal sense. And while this is the rare case where you can save precious public funding while also providing more effective, higher quality services. As we've talked about before about the cost per bed, the Illinois Auditor General estimated in FY10 that the cost was $86,000 per youth. By contrast, community-based strategies proven to significantly reduce recidivism cost much less. For example, functional family therapy costs about $3,300 per youth, and multi-systemic therapy costs about $7,300. So you're saving over $70,000 per youth. Finally, DJJ has devised a plan to close their prisons, which will keep the public, employees, and the youth safe. People have worried about this maximum security and that these kids are dangerous. Well, let's be clear here. No one's being really released. We're just transferring them to other prisons. And the issue about them being close to Chicago, which I think is an important one, as someone that represents these families regularly, it's very hard for families from Chicago to get to Joliet anyway. And I think that their plan here is that they're still going to try and keep them in the northern part of the state so that there is the possibility of being reunited. The most significant part of Director Bishop's plan is the investment in expanding aftercare specialist pilot. This program is absolutely critically important to successful reentry and to reducing recidivism. The early indications of this pilot, while I realize it's relatively new, are consistent with well-researched studies from around the country that indicate that they've lowered recidivism rate to less than 20% versus the over 55 or 60% that's typical for youth. The Commission is confident that implementing this federally recommended and well-researched aftercare model of juvenile reentry supervision will work. And finally, the Commission really does understand that this is a sensitive issue, that jobs are at issue here, and deeply and truly appreciate the economic impact that closures will have on employees and their families. Notwithstanding this concern, the economic interests of the communities which host prisons or workers employed cannot serve as the sole justification for maintaining an expensive, ineffective, and inefficient youth prison system where there's no countervailing juvenile justice policy issues or public safety reasons to keep them open. In conclusion, facility closures are an urgent, necessary step for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and the Commission believes that it's important for them to meet their obligations to the youth in its care, its employees, and the people of the state of Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank you, Director Bishop, very much, and all the other members of the panel. We appreciate your time here today, and it was very informative. And we know that what you said, 95% of those young people will hopefully be returning to their communities, and we rely on a lot of your expertise. Thank you. The next panel, elected officials. That would be... somebody has one more quick question.
Yeah, could I ask, what is the budget of the juvenile justice for Illinois?
Oh, that I think I'm going to defer to.
You're
commission.
You're
he wants to know the commission.
Oh, yeah. Our budget?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we have no money. You mean how much are we paid?
No. Your total budget.
Oh,
the
our
director
total budget
and
the,
your
the commission
total department.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry, I could get
the director know?
It's funded through, we don't get any money from the state of Illinois.
So there's no matching money that's 100% paid by federal government?
That's my understanding.
If you could get that information back to the commission,
I'd
that'd be great.
To give
Thank
it.
You. Next panel is the representative for Representative McGuire, Senator Pat McGuire, Larry Walsh, Executive Will County, James Glasgow, State's Attorney Will County, Paul Kalpas, Sheriff Will County, Thomas Tanis, City Manager, City of Joliet. That's it. Thank you. We do start limiting the testimony now, so we appreciate you going by the timers that are there. And because I think the hearing is supposed to be over at 1, but we're going to try and get everybody that's supposed to speak. So if you just start, go ahead. Introduce yourselves, please, for the record. Please proceed.
Thank you so much, Representative Belek, Chairwoman Belek. For the record, I'm State Representative Emily McCasey, and I want to thank the members of the commission for taking the time to be with us here in Joliet today. I know that we are in really challenging times and dealing with a lot of emotional issues, but I appreciate the opportunity just to have a chance to address all of you, to tell you about how important I believe IYC Joliet is to public safety of all the people in the state of Illinois, and to discuss the importance of this facility in the Will County community. I think that that the closure would pose risks both to the safety and welfare of the youth population, and it also doesn't make economic sense. First and foremost, we are still in the midst of a national recession, and we've heard testimony today that there are 226 people currently employed at the IYC Joliet facility, and that those individuals here in our Will County community would lose their jobs. The information that's been submitted by the department to the commission indicates that about 40 positions would be offered to individuals. That means that there's nearly 190 people in this community where unemployment in Will County is 10.2% right now, 190 families that lose employment in these tough economic times. We've also heard a little bit this morning about how IYC Joliet is a unique facility. It has unique attributes. This is the only maximum security facility for male youth in the state of Illinois. And there is not another facility. There's been discussion about how other existing facilities can be retrofitted to meet the needs of making sure that every individual within the facility, that we can maintain safety for both youth offenders as well as for staff. And there are absolutely costs related to that. This proposed closure would result, I believe, in additional costs to the state. Is that my time's up?
If you could bring your remarks.
Thank you. Well, there were recently some capital expenditures, $2.4 million on a roof. Right now, they're still finishing a beds project that cost about $700,000 here. And we heard earlier about the costs related to writs traveling back and forth. So for these reasons, I appreciate the commission's time. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Pat McGuire, State Senator, 43rd District. I've toured IYC Joliet, I've spoken with IYC Joliet staff, and I've met with Quinn administration officials and come to the conclusion that the governor's proposal to close IYC Joliet threatens public safety and poses far-reaching dangerous effects. We've heard that one of the governor's rationales for closing IYC Joliet is that, quote, the physical structure is the least rehabilitative in the system, close quote. This is a simplistic view of the reality at IYC Joliet. IYC Joliet is a dedicated, skilled staff providing a variety of rehabilitative services to a most challenging population. For instance, IYC Joliet has an effective substance abuse program, which DJJ plans to continue to fund when current federal funding ends. IYC Joliet contains a high school, offers GED courses, and offers vocational apprenticeships, all to a population of which 60% are classified as special education students. The utility, as has been noted, of IYC's proximity to Chicago can't be overstated. 85% of the youths at IYC Joliet come from Cook County. The governor proposes moving some IYC Joliet residents to Kewaunee, and perhaps, as I noted, some to Harrisburg. Kewaunee is 112 miles and nearly 2 hours away from Joliet. Closing IYC Joliet and transferring youths farther downstate would make actual in-person live family visits less likely and remove a crucial component in improving behavior and promoting rehabilitation. Consent decree youths also have been mentioned. DJJ states that consent decree youth population remains stable at approximately 90 to 100 youths each month, and as Representative McCasey noted, they must be transported to Cook County courtrooms. Moving these youths out of the Chicago area would raise travel costs, including perhaps overtime for staff, lengthen the time staff is away from IYC Joliet, and increase the possibility of incidents en route. I respect the governor's good intentions. However, his proposal to close IYC Joliet appears to be rushed, haphazard, and narrowly focused on bricks and mortar. It fails to recognize the types of youths incarcerated at IYC Joliet, the staff's expertise, the effective programs there, and the benefits of IYC Joliet's location. I respectfully urge the members of this commission to reject the government's proposal to close IYC Joliet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator McGuire. Representative Jack McGuire could not be here today, but he has a representative that would like to make a statement.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Colleen Preboy, and I'm here to represent State Representative Jack McGuire. Thank you to the commission for this providing us this opportunity to speak today. We have submitted our written testimony to the commission, but would like to state for the record that IYC Joliet is an important piece of our local community and also to the juvenile justice system. We respectfully urge that you take into consideration the work of the employees and the positive results that continue to benefit our local community in this great state of Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I'm Will County Executive Larry Walsh, and I want to thank the commission for holding this hearing today. I would also like to thank you, all of you, to coming to Will County. I appreciate your interest on this very important issue for our community and our local residents. I hope that you find today's testimony informative as you work on making the decisions regarding the proposed closure of these critical facilities. IYC Joliet has been a member of the Will County Joliet community since 1959 and has successfully housed young men in a maximum security setting with care and expertise by both positively impacting their rehabilitative process of these residents while ensuring safety and security of the Joliet community. The staff at IYC Joliet demonstrates an expertise in addressing those issues and concerns raised on a daily basis by a very violent, aggressive, and impulsive population. This expertise has been learned and perfected by years of training, education, and most importantly, experience. It seems that there is a misnomer among the groups who claim to advocate for incarcerated youth in that they appear unaware of the expertise, professionalism, and dedication of the IYC Joliet staff and their positive impact on this most difficult and dangerous population. As we are all aware, the state is in a financial crisis, and the announcement of the proposed closure of IYC Joliet is designed to address this crisis. However, to accommodate this proposal, the state will spend in excess of $5 million to renovate an older facility located in St. Charles to prepare it for the same security classification required to keep community safe when such a facility already exists in IYC Joliet. IYC Joliet functions on an austere $19 million budget, is structurally sound with numerous capital improvements just recently completed in the amount of $2 million while employing 237 individuals, many of them local residents, which fuels the Will County Joliet economy. IYC Joliet is geographically located near public transportation, major expressways, and in close proximity to the families of these young residents, as well as their legal representative and courts of jurisdiction. To relocate residents IYC Joliet further away from their family support, their legal representatives, and their court venue all leads to additional cost. Longer commutes to and from court will result in additional fuel, staffing, and overtime costs. The safety and the security of the community will diminish, which significantly harms the rehabilitative process of these young male offenders, resulting in repeated criminal behavior and continued incarceration, all at a significant financial cost to the taxpayers. I conclude by saying we will continue working with our local legislators in the governor's office to inform them of the importance of the IYC Joliet to our residents, local business, and our labor force. We will not give up. We will not be quiet. We will continue to support our facility. This center not only provides a critical service in the criminal justice sector, but it also provides many jobs for many of our local residents and is a source of numerous economic benefits to local businesses and our community. The closure of this facility will have a very negative impact on our local economy that we cannot afford. I hope you make the right decision and keep this facility open. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Gave you a little leeway. Please proceed.
He always teases me about talking too long. This closing is extremely personal to me. My kids are fourth generation.
Please state resident. Your name, please.
I'm sorry. Jim Glasgow. I'm the Will County State's Attorney. As I was saying, this closing is very personal to me. My kids are fourth generation Joliet residents. I'm a neighbor of Tom Thanis. In 1984, I was an assistant state's attorney, and I reviewed an investigative report from the Illinois Youth Center. Henry Washington was punched by an inmate. He fell, hit his head, and died. I approved murder charges on that case. It is a memorial to Henry Washington in the square out there at the Illinois Youth Center. This $19 million budget is a pittance compared to the billions and billions of dollars that you're facing in cuts. And if you were to close this, the spinoff and ripple costs would dwarf that $19 million. These young people are 17 years of age and older on average. They're much older than the normal population, and they're extremely dangerous. It shouldn't be called IYC. It should be called IYCLR, Illinois Youth Center of Last Resort. This is the only place that these people can be safely held. These people sitting behind us are courageous employees of the Department of Corrections. They go to work every day knowing that their lives are at risk. That's not the case in every other center. If you were to place these inmates in other centers, now you would jeopardize. We've heard all these compassionate statements about the other inmates. You will jeopardize their safety by putting these inmates in with them, not to mention the staff. And then if you increase the transportation costs or the transportation distances, you have the risk of escape. These are very violent individuals. They're being held for murder, aggravated kidnapping, armed robbery, rape. These community-based programs did not work for them, absolutely did not work for them. There's no other place that these individuals can be safely watched and held in custody other than the Illinois Youth Center right now. And I was shocked to hear that the budget's only $19 million. You all know these people work for a lot less money than they should be paid, but they do it, and they do it with passion. And just briefly on the ripple costs, if you lay these people off in my town, you will cause 275 unemployed people to be out there on the streets, potentially to lose their houses to this foreclosure crisis that we're facing here, potential divorces. Those social costs you have to factor in. They're dwarfed to $19 million in a year. So please, please, I understand you have to close a facility, and I hate to say close the other one, but you can't close this one. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, Tom Thanis, City Manager of the City of Joliet, welcome to downtown Joliet. I'm here on behalf of Mayor Geronte, who was here earlier this morning, and we have representation from Councilman Hugg and Councilman Odekirk. I'm here to deliver the message that we would like for you not to and Mayor Geronte just returned. We'd like to pass along the message that we'd like to see IYC Joliet remain open, and I think Representative Nekritz said it the best today. A lot of good policy decisions are now being controlled by budgetary constraints in this economy that we all have to live in. And I think what Jim just said to you is something that we want to pass that message along. When you're doing your calculation, don't forget about the 275 people behind us here today. If their jobs are eliminated, there is a cost that has to be factored into the calculation as to what this really means. And that's going to be a cost in the form of unemployment insurance, loss of sales tax for the state and the city, and then a loss of income tax. And again, I know it's a $19 million budget you're dealing with, but it goes much beyond that. So that's why we are asking you to consider that. I'm in charge of a $300 million budget. We have spent the last 4 years squeezing every penny we possibly could, and we deliver frontline service, police, fire, water, sewer, and roads, and we found ways to keep delivering the service that our residents are used to, but we've done it by squeezing the pennies. And we ask you to do the same thing and instruct the director and his staff to find a better way of doing this other than closing IYC Joliet. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Mayor, did you want to speak?
Thank you. Sorry for being late. Tom Girani, Mayor, City of Joliet. I had the opportunity to visit the facility yesterday. It was an eye-opener. I didn't realize the extent of the people that are in there and the extent of the crimes that they committed. A concern about where they're going to send them, to spend money to remodel another facility to handle those people that are in there when we have a facility existing right now that can do that, I think does not make good sense. I would ask that you really consider leaving this open. I understand you got to cut. As city manager said, we cut, but we didn't cut services. We found other ways to cut, and I would ask you to do the same thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the entire panel. We appreciate your expertise. Next. Okay. Next panel is employee organization, unions, and associations. Henry Baer, executive director of AFSCME Council 31. Sharon Kanapka, president, AFSCME Local 1753. Robin Best, staff specialist, Illinois Nurses Association. And Greg Johnson, trustee, Fraternal Order of Police, District 3.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I am very appreciative of the opportunity to testify here this afternoon in opposition to the closure of the Joliet Youth Center. I'd like to begin by saying I've been listening to the testimony here all morning, and I think there's some things that need to be clarified and put in context. I mean, it's clear from the department's presentation, their report to COG for their submission, that this is largely budget-driven. And a number of members of the panel have alluded to we have a budget problem. And we do have a budget problem. But the budget, you know, it's not the holy scripture. It's not something handed down that we have to abide by. The budget is written by the governor and the members of the General Assembly. I've said this before to this committee, but I want to say it again for the benefit of this audience. Four months ago, the General Assembly passed a bill that gave $300 million in tax breaks to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, to Sears, and a few other large corporations. $300 million. And the governor said, give me that bill, I'm anxious to sign it. Wasn't he thinking about Joliet IYC, about TAMS, about Tinley Park Mental Health Center, about the ATCs they want to close? $100 million they claim they're going to save by closing all 14 facilities. $300 million they gave to CME and they gave to Sears and the others. That money could have and should be used to maintain the services that the state now provides at these facilities. Now, many of the people sitting behind me work at Joliet IYC. A lot of them also work over at Stateville. They were asked by this governor to defer a pay increase because the state was in a fiscal bind. And they agreed to it. They voted to defer that pay increase at the request of the governor in order to get through the fiscal bind. Why doesn't the governor and the General Assembly say to CME, which made $900 million in profits, and say to Sears, which pays its chief executive $900,000 a year just for his travel expenses to go back home out east, ask them to defer their tax increases to keep Joliet and all the other 14 facilities open? That's what ought to be done. Now, you say it's a tough decision, and it's really not a tough decision if you don't work at Joliet IYC, if you're not directly impacted like the families of the people who work there will be. You've heard testimony about the professional work that people there do, and they've been doing it under the most trying of circumstances. Their budgets have been cut and cut and cut. The programs that we used to have largely been cut. and for the department to come here and say, well, we're doing this for the youth. Where have they been when we've been calling for programs for youth, for more education, for more counseling, because they have shrunk the number of people who provide those programs. The department was nowhere. It said nothing. They said, well, we don't like Joliet because it's too harsh a facility. Well, I found out this morning they're talking to Cook County about putting those people who are waiting for trial because they've committed a crime while on parole to put them in Cook County Jail. Now, I ask you, is that a better place for these kids to be in Cook County Jail than to be at the Joliet IYC? I would submit not. And the advocates, the people who call themselves advocates, they remain silent. They remain silent when we called for more education programs. They remain silent when we called for more counseling programs. They don't care about these kids. They want to close this facility. We know, we heard the department tell us early, well, the treatment you need, that overrides the security level. That's what I heard them say. If you need treatment, we put you where you need to be for treatment, irrespective of your security level. Then they tell us, well, where are you going to put these youth? Well, we're going to put some of these youth in Kewaunee. Well, if you're going to put them in Kewaunee, do they need treatment? If they needed the treatment, why aren't they already in Kewaunee? They're not because they don't need the treatment. They're going to mix those kids up. They're going to make lives worse for the youth that they claim that they care about. They are here defending an indefensible budget. They are here that's going to make life worse for these kids who need rehabilitation and need to be returned to their communities. They are going to make life worth for the people who provide these vital services. And we urge this committee to reject this plan. The governor's plan is an outrage. An outrage. He should be ashamed that he would do this to the youth of this state and to the people who provide the services.
Thank you. I would ask you again to maintain the decorum of the Capitol. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sharon Knapka, and I am the local president at 1753, and I represent the 225 people behind me that do risk their lives every single day when they walk through Gate 2. I'm speaking today in opposition of Governor Quinn's proposal to close IYC Joliet. Joliet is the only maximum security prison for young males in Illinois. This is substantiated by the IDJJ website that lists Joliet as the only level one prison for males. The governor and his staff will continue to state that the young males at IYC Joliet can be housed elsewhere. This is not a true statement. The young male offenders at Joliet have been housed in less secure environments and have been negatively transferred to Joliet because of the difficult behavior problems they present. The young males are currently convicted or facing charges of murder, kidnapping, aggravated battery of senior citizens, criminal sexual assault of a child under the ages of 4 and under the ages of 9, multiple weapon charges. The young males at Joliet are the most aggressive and dangerous in the state of Illinois. 85% of our population is from Cook County. If Governor Quinn is successful in his proposal, the youth would be transferred 6 hours south to Harrisburg, 2 hours west to Kewaunee, an hour and a half north to St. Charles. This will create both an emotional and economical hardship on the families that rely on public transportation in order to see their family members. In most cases, the relationship between offender and family is a fragile bond. The governor is in essence breaking the bond, destroying relationships, and doing absolutely nothing to encourage family reunification. It is vital for the continued growth and development of these youth that family visits are not severed. You have heard the governor's office speak of recidivism. You have heard the IDJJ administration talk of statistics and research. However, in very few instances will you hear the statistics as they are reported as to what is going on in Illinois. Redeploy Illinois states 33% of youth were diverted from being committed to IDJJ. This number is not surprising, as the county and community must have a minimum of 25% diversion in order to receive state funds. After Carroll reported a recidivism rate of 24, this is also extremely inaccurate. This does not take into account a youth that is sent to halfway back. By Director Bishop's own admission today, is a violation of parole at halfway back for a minimum of 2 weeks. The research shows that youth currently in aftercare, as of 2/29/12, including those who have been diverted for noncompliance to halfway back, is 62%. We did a search at Joliet of 40 recent parole violations. 37 of those 40 youth were returned to the department with either additional criminal offenses and 37 for noncompliance with community services. Joliet has the appearance of an adult facility because of its population. It is, in most cases, the last stop before an 18, 19, or 20-year-old is transferred to the adult system. Joliet is comprised of several housing units, an academic building, dietary administration, multipurpose, and two gyms. The buildings are sound, they're safe, and they're secure. There are no condemned buildings at IYC Joliet. We do not require millions of dollars in renovation in order to maintain the population we serve.
We would appreciate if you could bring your remarks to a close.
Sure. We continue to outrank other facilities using PBS standards. As a voter and a taxpayer, I do not believe Governor Quinn is making a sound decision as it pertains to the closure. I would like the governor to apply real reform measures in order to balance a budget and spending that is out of control. He will need to make tough choices. But
please bring your remarks to a close.
Well, all I can tell you then is IYC Joliet serves an extremely dangerous culture. The staff there, although trained at the academy the same as everybody else, adapts to the situations that we have, and this is just poor business. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We just ask that you keep your remarks. We ask that you keep to the timer just so that we can get through all the panels and everybody get a fair hearing. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name's Robin Bass. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I'm a registered nurse and employed with the Illinois Nurses Association, and I represent the state nurses and all the correctional facilities throughout the state. INA is opposed to the closure of IYC Joliet. The closure of this facility will have a serious negative impact on the Joliet community, the 226 employees and their families, the offenders housed there, as well as public safety. Joliet IYC is the only maximum security youth facility to house the most hardened prisoners in Illinois. And as it was said earlier, pretty much the buck stops here. This is where we tell these offenders, you're going to go if you don't behave. If we close Joliet, where are they going to go? The only other facility, according to the website, that could take these offenders is Harrisburg, which is very, very far south. These offenders are still young men with the potential to be rehabilitated. Without the support of family, this rehabilitation would be compromised. Harrisburg is already overcrowded, so it would be unsafe to the staff and offenders there to house these youths together in an already overcrowded facility. The community of Joliet has already been impacted by the closure of Joliet Correctional Center. This would be a further economic blow to this community and the families who live here. Approximately 226 employees will be forced to relocate or face unemployment. I realize that this state is in a tough economic crisis. I just don't understand why the budget crisis always has to be solved on the back of the state-employed correctional employee. You know, INA respectfully requests that you consider the cost of public safety, the community of Joliet, the employees of Joliet IYC, and the offenders and families they serve. All would suffer as a result of this closure. Thank you, and I respectfully request that you vote to keep Joliet IYC open.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Is this one on? Greg Johnson, Fraternal Order of Police. Ladies and gentlemen of the Commission, I would like to thank you for this opportunity to address the proposed closing of IYC Joliet. I represent Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 263, a fraternal organization representing approximately 1,000 correctional professionals from across the state. FOP Lodge 263 strongly opposes Governor Quinn's plans to shut down this center. IYC Joliet houses some of the most dangerous juvenile criminals in the state, including many that have been sentenced as adults or have pending criminal cases in adult courts. Moving these juveniles to other youth centers that are not equipped and lack the experience of dealing with such offenders increases the risk to staff as well as to the facility population. The proposed closure also threatens conditions at the remaining youth centers. Discipline at other centers could be adversely affected due to a lack of transfer options. In any correctional system, it is important to have maximum security facilities such as IYC Joliet, to deal with those residents at other institutions that cannot be managed effectively in less secure environments. Closure of this facility removes this as a management tool. Decreased discipline results in an atmosphere that is not conducive to rehabilitation. For the past 10 years, I've worked as a parole agent supervising juvenile offenders in Will and Cook County. The parole population has grown increasingly more difficult to manage due to shorter incarceration times and reluctance to return youth as violators. Closure of this facility will only exacerbate this problem. In the interest of public safety, the members of Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 263, urge you to vote no on this proposal. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the panel? No. Thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate it. The next panel is community organizations and other interested parties. We have Reverend Lester Brown, Good Samaritan Ministry of Joliet, Ryan Alm, Elizabeth Clark, President of the Juvenile Justice Initiative, John Mackey, Executive Director, John Howard Association. Oh, I'm not sure if he's here today. Jennifer Volen Katz, Director of Juvenile Justice Project, John Howard Association. Jeffrey Bradley, Statewide Coordinator, Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. Samuel Latson, Hazelcrest Church, and Anita Baker. Thank you for joining us today, and I would appreciate if you would keep your remarks to the timer. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. If I may give some clarity on my credentials, they have me down here. I'm Reverend Dr. Lester Brown.
Oh, great.
I am also a retiree from IYC Joliet. I'm a professor of criminal justice studies, specifically juvenile delinquency at Joliet Junior College. And I'm also the executive director of a youth services agency here in Joliet. So I want you to know we care about service and treatment of these youth. What I want to speak specifically to is my years of tenure out there at IYC Joliet. And this is really, this has been about apples and oranges. What we need to understand is that that facility houses the most violent and aggressive juveniles in the state of Illinois. I'd just like to give you a little research. Every day in America, 7 teenagers and 10 young adults are the victims of homicide. Every day in America, there are 10 teenagers and 13 young adults who are killed by firearms. If you can see in Chicago, many of these killings that are going on are done by young people. Because of the law to waive a kid into the adult court, that makes those kids get adult time. And there's no other place that they can be housed but out there at IYC Joliet. Some of those kids are looking at 99 years. Some of them are looking at 100 to 120 years, 150 years. They need such a facility to prepare them to get ready to go to adult. If you let them out of there and put them in a minimum or medium place, then I'm concerned for your safety, my safety, and everyone in that community's safety, because these kids will escape from there. And if they escape from there, they do not care who they harm in the process. So this is the only facility. And the barbed wire fence is because they killed an officer out there. The barbed wire fence is because they escaped from out there, got into the houses in the community, and got guns. So let's not be fooled by this fact that it's not dangerous kids. So I just want to say that, and you, all these kids are getting ready to come there because of all the killings that's done went on, and we need such a place to house them. So please don't vote to let that facility go, because they need to be there. These staff are specifically trained to deal with that type of aggression, and I thank you.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Good afternoon to the members of the committee and all those in attendance. My name is Jeff Bradley. I'm the statewide coordinator from the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. I'm also the former state's attorney in Jefferson County, Illinois. I work through the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission, and I would reiterate the points made by Ms. Beal this morning by the director. I won't reiterate those points, but I did have a couple of other things that I thought were noteworthy that I had not heard today. First off, Redeploy Illinois is a promise that was made to the Illinois taxpayer, to the children of Illinois, and to our court systems that has not been kept. That promise that was made is in the name. The funds are to be redeployed from the correctional system to upfront services. The data is irrefutable. Redeploy Illinois can do it better, can do it simpler, can increase public safety and save our taxpayers' dollars. Now, the second point that I want to make is this. If you haven't figured it out by yet from the way I talk, most folks up here tell me I talk a little funny. I'm not from downstate Illinois. I'm from southern Illinois. I'm from coal country. I'm from Bloody Williamson. Unions are not something that we talk about. They're our way of life, and they're our reality. I have 5 family members who work for either DJJ or DOC, and we understand that this loss of jobs impacts the entire state negatively. We're not here to take a position from the commission on which facilities should be closed, but we can tell you that we're wasting money and we are decreasing public safety by keeping facilities open. However, let me offer a bridge. Something has dawned on me in my thought process with all of this. We have one of the best community college systems in the nation in Illinois. When I came out of high school and went to my local community college, half the people sitting in my classroom were folks who had been coal miners and the coal mine shut down. They have jobs again. Now, granted, they weren't the jobs that they had when they were coal miners. They walked out of high school, $50,000, got married, had benefits and retirement. All that stuff was gone, was taken from them when the coal mine shut down. So we understand that impact, or what that impact is on the community. I urge the government, the governor's office, the General Assembly, to get together with our community college board and give these folks jobs. Let's retrain these workers. And if you tell me that the only thing that these folks can do is be correctional officers, I tell you, you're selling these workers short. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth Clark, Juvenile Justice Initiative. I know the difficult decisions this panel is making. I was with you in Murfreesboro. My staff was with you at the hearing on Pier Marquette. No community wants to lose their jobs or their facility. At the same time, it is critical to use our limited dollars to create the best environments and resources for our youth when they do get in trouble. And let me just say, I've sat here for some time now listening to the youth in Joliet described as the most dangerous, violent, and I've been in every one of the eight facilities over and over again, going back over 30 years in this state. I've represented juveniles on appeal in all kinds of offenses. I do know, and I've been in juvenile facilities all around the country and around the world, and I know that facilities that, like the director describes, that treat youth are treatment-oriented, where the staff are adequately trained in de-escalation techniques and adolescent development and rich in programs, are the safest facilities no matter what the classification or offense of the youth, by far. The state of Mississippi recently settled a lawsuit and switched from the maximum secure facility model like we have here in Joliet to treatment-oriented, and the director acknowledged he didn't think it would work, but it is far safer now. We need to switch to the vision that the director of the Department of Juvenile Justice has indicated. Treatment, rich in programming. He can only do that by closing down facilities, no matter how hard the decision, and shifting those resources to treatment and community-based alternatives. I thank you for wrestling with these difficult decisions, and thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Volin-Katz. I'm the Director of Juvenile Justice with the John Howard Association. We're one of the oldest prison reform organizations in the country, and we're also the only independent group that monitors the correction system in Illinois, both adult and juvenile. Our work grows out of our belief that cost-effective prison reform is a powerful tool to promote public safety, youth rehabilitation, and community safety. We understand that the facility closing impacts the community, and we also realize it has nothing to do with the dedication and abilities of the caring staff that do such great work at Joliet. It has to do with striking a critical balance between cost-effective allocation of resources and DJJ's mission to rehabilitate troubled youth. We also recognize that Joliet is currently the only maximum security youth center in Illinois, but we trust that DJJ is correct in their planning for other facilities to safely and productively house youth and keeping them separate from the other populations. We believe that if they think this transition is appropriate, it will be, and it can be done. They have done a wonderful job in the past several years of treating youth appropriately and helping to rehabilitate them, and this is just a further piece of the work they're doing. The mission statement of DJJ recognizes that youth are inherently different than adults, and their efforts aimed at rehabilitating them so they can grow into productive members of society are to be supported. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Ryan Alm, and I'm a candidate for Illinois House of Representatives here in Joliet. I'm working through a cold, excuse me. Our economy cannot work well without a functioning criminal justice system. Otherwise, organized crime will easily take over large sectors of our business community. Extortion, bribery, kidnapping, and murder would become the reigning corporate model. Without the rule of law, our economy will falter. The Illinois Youth Center offers a functioning juvenile criminal justice system that protects our economy and our capitalistic system that we rely upon. By closing the Illinois Youth Center, you're putting stress on the local economy. These 200 employees here represent families, 200 families, 200 plus families back behind me. As such, each family unit spends roughly around $49,000 a year in the local economy. What that amounts to is if these 200 employees are laid off, that represents closely $493,425 in a negative effect upon our local economy. The average length of time that it takes someone to find a job is about a year. So this $13 million a deficit to our local economy is something that will affect us within this next year. Now, I've heard that about 20% of the inmates come from around the Will County area. What does 20% represent for Will County area? We could squeeze the entire population, that 20%, into the entire city of Joliet. That's the population that this Illinois Youth Center serves, the entire city of Joliet, for Will County only, Will County residents. So I ask you today, I mean, for Will County being the fourth largest county in Illinois, that's like saying to the fourth largest basketball player, you go sit down. Okay, it just doesn't make sense. So I ask, thank you for your time allowing me to speak today, and I ask you to keep the Illinois Youth Center open. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to make an announcement that some of the people that are parked in the restaurant parking lot, either people there or legislators, that they will be towed away. So we've just been made aware of that. Thank you.
My name is Samuel Latson. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. I'm from Hazelcrest Community Church in Country Club Hills. And I'd just like to say I've been a volunteer at RYC for about 5 years. I've worked with the staff. I've worked with the employees. And I think they're doing a very good job. I also like to say if you close the facility, it affects the families, it affects the youth, and it affects the employees. When you talk about numbers, you can go back and forth about numbers. But as legislators, this is one of the areas that I know you're familiar with. $19 million? If you close it for $19 million, I feel and I know it would cost way more than that. When you close the facility, the cost will be way more. So I'm just asking you to consider the cost to operate that facility. And consider the fact that families have to travel to see their children. And consider the fact also that a lot of these kids come from dysfunctional families. And they don't have anyone to really care about them. And I see people that are concerned on the staff that cares. And I see employees that care. And I'm just asking you, consider the families in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the committee members of the panel? Seeing none, thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Oh. She testified. Correct. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. The last panel, I think we're going to have to split in two. The employees. Okay. Joseph Germain, we're going to call you up first because I think you have a time problem. Then Troy Johnson, Chief Engineer. Patricia Walker, Corrections Nurse, too. Julius Collins, Jr., Juvenile Justice Specialist. Todd Westover, Academic Educator. Rodney Baker, Juvenile Justice Supervisor. Michael Klimek, Juvenile Justice Specialist. Is there enough room for everybody that we called? Great. Please stay to your time limit so we can get all the employees. Only to be fair, we appreciate all of your testimony. Thank you. Just state your name and then continue.
My name is Chaplain Joseph Germain. I'm a very new chaplain at the IYC Joliet, and I'd like to thank the commission for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I came here with a prepared statement. And I have to admit, as a chaplain, when I looked at the statement, I said to myself, there's nothing here that you haven't already heard. And they say brevity is the soul of wit, and I'm going to be brief. There's one person here that has not been heard, and probably will not be heard except through me. And that will be the testimony of the very youth that we're dealing with. So I'm going to share with you a conversation I've had with one of these youth. A young man of 19 years of age, a father of a little girl of a year and a half, whose mother brings that child to him each weekend to visitation. The young man turns to the chaplain and says, I understand they're closing this facility. What am I going to do? How am I going to see my child? Where's my child going to be? Where's the future wife of this child going to be? You know, we talk about perception and reality, and we talk about money. And in the course of this hearing, there's one thing I haven't really heard is the human factor. We're dealing with human beings. And we begin to put them on a chessboard and treat them like pawns. We can shuffle them about. What am I going to do with another chaplain? Am I going to have another counselor and start this all over again? I've already opened up my heart to you and to someone else. I've already established myself here. I'm trying to do the right thing. I have a little baby girl. You know, the real priority has to be humanity. And as a chaplain, I could think of nothing less. We're living in a society that's ruled by a Judeo-Christian tradition, and sometimes we fail to ignore our responsibility. We have a responsibility to human beings. Money, if each one of you were subject to home foreclosure, I'm sure you would do your very best to find resources to protect your home and family. What this state government has to do is to find the same resources. There is federal grants available for education. I don't hear anybody talking about trying to secure. The federal government bails out so many other...
Thank you. If you could bring your remarks to a close.
I am. I thought I was going to be brief, but I got passionately involved because this is a passion for me. This environment is foreign to me. I'm new to this. And I see the humanity. I wish you would see the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Troy Johnson, the chief engineer out at Iowa State Joliet, and I just don't get it. I mean, I'm a fairly educated man, and it seems to me that here in Illinois, we've got advocates groups that just don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me to put millions of dollars in a state-of-the-art fire alarm system with fiber optic communication, a complete underground sewer upgrade, new underground water lines and fire hydrants, new cable and equipment for computers. Doesn't make sense to put millions in an electrical upgrade complete with underground cabling, new transformers, switchgear, and a backup generator that provides power automatically during power outages. Spend millions on a school with 21 classrooms, vocational studies, I'll say it again, vocational studies, a library, a computer lab, and offices. Two new living units with 96 beds, an ancillary, and a gym. A new dietary building with modern kitchen equipment, dining rooms, walk-in freezers, and coolers. Doesn't make sense to waste $2.4 million fixing roofs, $700,000 on installing new hang-proof furniture in the dorm rooms. Why waste the money taking all of the asbestos out of our facility if you're just going to close it? We are 97% asbestos-free with no asbestos in any dorm rooms. St. Charles dorm rooms are loaded with asbestos. And this is no secret. You can go to CDB, you can go to CPU unit, and they'll tell you that is the truth. Now, does it make sense to take our kids from Joliet and put them in St. Charles? I mean, St. Charles had a number of buildings condemned last year. They need new roofs. They need mechanical upgrades, including a boiler, just to provide heat. They need the asbestos removal. They need the repairs to the fire alarm system. They need new roads. It will take millions of dollars to fix St. Charles. Millions to get them where Joliet already is. Now I ask you, does that make sense? No, it does not. And somehow the advocates for the new juvenile justice plan think that this is a good idea. But the advocates aren't the experts. Oh, no. The experts are the juvenile justice specialists at IYC Joliet. The experts are the counselors and the casework supervisors at IYC Joliet.
Thank you.
The
we
superintendents,
would ask you
the program
close.
People at IYC Joliet. The experts are the records office personnel, the teachers, the psychologists, and the nurses at Joliet. These are the experts. I would urge the governor to listen to these people. Now that makes sense.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, just, you know, it makes sense to make your decisions based on fiscal responsibility. And at IYC Joliet, we've done that. We have 72 employees less than we had 10 years ago. We've saved the state $46 million
on payroll
alone.
I'm asking you once again to bring your remarks to a close, please. There's others that want to testify.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. Thank you, Bruce. In my department alone, the maintenance department, we went from 17 workers down to an average of 5 over the last 10 years. And you know, the work didn't just go away.
I'm only going to ask one more time.
Okay. In closing, which one do I want to go with here? Even after all our sacrifice, even after all that, the state comes to us and says, you know, we need you to pay more for your pension. We need you to pay more for your health and welfare. And we did. We've kept our end of the bargain. We've saved the state money. And they want to reward us by closing our prison, by taking away our livelihood? That just doesn't make sense.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Julius Collins, Jr., Juvenile Justice Specialist. I was hired by the department on June 29, 2009, in the second class of DJJ hires at IYC Joliet under the idea that we were the new face of juvenile justice in Illinois. But simply put, to close IYC Joliet would indirectly and blatantly contradict all of the training that the DJJ hires participated in at the campus in Springfield. Because if IYC Joliet is closed, the staff that will be transferred to other juvenile facilities will be the veteran staff with years and years of seniority, the staff that were deemed no longer fit to effectively manage the population that we serve. That leaves the new face of juvenile justice unemployed and the current facilities being run by the same veteran staff that were deemed incapable of effectively managing these facilities, these offenders, excuse me. Now let me add, I'm sure I speak for all the DJJ hires at IYC Joliet when I say that working with staff that have experience in upwards of 25 years in DOC and DJJ has made us the great staff that we are today. Now if IYC Joliet is closed, then tens of thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars will have been wasted on the hiring and training of nearly 100 DJJ hires, at which point more money will have to be spent on the retraining of staff at other facilities on how to handle maximum security offenders. Now, to release an incarcerated youth with the idea that home treatment will be more effective is extremely unrealistic because he will not view it any different than he has before. He will view it just as being out on parole, and it's likely that he will return to the system. Many offenders released on parole go back to live in these same neighborhoods where they made their first drug deal or picked up and they shot their first handgun. They return to the system not because we haven't done the very best we could to rehabilitate them, but simply because IYC Joliet serves as a safe haven to most of these young adult offenders. Many of them have no place to go once they're released. They're victims of abusive households, physical abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, psychological abuse, environmental abuse. Their refrigerators and cabinets don't have food in them. Their utilities aren't paid. Their clothes aren't clean. But most of all, they live in a society whose economy does not make it easy for the underprivileged family to succeed. When they're released for the first couple of weeks, they are rehabilitated. But once the reality sets in and they realize they have nowhere to turn for shelter, for food, for safety, IYC Joliet is where they come. They commit the smallest crime just to get back inside, so they can have food and safety from their enemies on the street and a safe and warm place to lay their head at night. IYC Joliet is the last resort. We pride ourselves in knowing that when other facilities can no longer deal with the overly aggressive young adult offenders, our facility, IYC Joliet, accepts those offenders and manages them to where they no longer can cause issues. When offenders at IYC St. Charles IYC Chicago, IYC Harrisburg, IYC Kiwanis, when they fight, when they riot, they send them to us. And we work with them. We work with them to the point where they can no longer cause issues.
If you could,
I come before you to share this. IYC Joliet works. Our staff work. Our counselors work. Our equipment, our procedures, our directives, they all work. So I urge you, save IYC Joliet. Keep us open and let us continue to do our jobs because we are the best at what we do.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
My name is Todd. I'm sorry.
Go.
I'm asking you again to adhere to the time limit just so we can hear the others.
Oh my God. Okay, good morning. My name is Patricia Walker. I'm a corrections nurse too at IYC Joliet. I'd like to tell you about myself. Before I became a nurse, I received a degree in psychology.
They can't hear you.
I received a degree in psychology. I worked as a child and adolescent counselor for the health department and on an inpatient psychiatric adolescent unit for almost 5 years. Adolescents can be impulsive, volatile, and are easily provoked. At IYC, the nurses deliver medications to the dorms twice daily. This can be a difficult task for staff and the nurses. Imagine three hallways with male adolescents. These youths are strategically housed and separated by certain criteria for safety. Staff sometimes can only let one adolescent out at a time or one side of the wing out for the main station to receive medication. As the youths come out for medication, they are carefully monitored by staff to maintain a safe work environment. This can be time-consuming, but it is the only way to maintain the safety of the youth, staff, and nursing staff. No two wings are allowed to come out at the same time because this is increased risk for assaults of youths and staff. I like to think of the staff at IYC as rapid responders. If any of you have been to the hospital recently, I'm sure you've heard of a rapid response. This is the opportunity by the IYC staff to provide interventions in critical situations. By security, mental health staff are alert and can intervene. Staff at IYC try to be proactive instead of reactive. The quick thinking of staff and their interventions prevents injuries and maintains the safety of other youths and staff. Recently, a youth returned from a court writ and nursing staff noticed something was wrong. He was upset due to his long sentence and was at a possible risk of self-harm. The appropriate mental health and security were notified and the correct interventions were appropriately provided. We avoid fights by security, identifying cues and intervening before a fight where the youths are either put in a timeout or sent to confinement. In many ways, IYC is like an inpatient adolescent psychiatric unit and a BD program. We are responsible for giving them medications. We're responsible for their mental health. We're responsible for their education and for their future. We're supposed to provide them support. They look for their families for support, and by taking these adolescents out of IYC, you will be taken away from, you know, people who can take care of them and their families. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Todd Westover, and I am a social studies teacher at IYC Joliet. As I often relay to my students, it is imperative that we use historical facts while we attempt to express our opinions. I would like to apply that process here today. In September of 2009, Governor Pat Quinn planned to release 1,000 inmates from prisons across Illinois in an effort to save money. This process was part of the now infamous MGT Push program. Shortly after, in December of 2009, the program was stopped because dozens of those released had committed new crimes and even more had disappeared. In the face of growing pressure, Governor Quinn admitted that setting prisoners free to try to save taxpayer money was a very big mistake. I take no joy in recounting this story. Many lives were needlessly impacted by this disregard for public safety. What I would like to focus on today is Governor Quinn's willingness to point the finger of blame at others. Governor Quinn said it was then Director of Corrections Michael Randall who put the accelerated release program into effect that December, and not him. Then, according to Chicago ABC 7 News, Governor Quinn squarely put the blame on the General Assembly for forcing state agencies to cut their budgets that year. Only 5 months later, in May of 2010, in a case involving a Peoria man, an Associated Press story contended that Governor Pat Quinn criticized this time the Prisoner Review Board over the weekend for the early release of a man now charged with murder. I tell this story today as a cautionary tale. Governor Quinn has shown that he is quite willing to blame others when his poor choices have come at the cost of public safety. Today I would ask this commission to consider what their vote could mean in the future. Will Governor Quinn's blame game continue if future events dictate that it would be politically expedient to do so? Will the governor again place blame on department heads, legislators, or commissions? In closing, I would respectfully urge this commission to force Governor Quinn to make this decision on his own. I would ask that all commissioners oppose the closing of IYC Joliet, and by doing so, inform the chief executive of this state that he alone will make this decision and he alone will face any future consequences. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rodney Baker, Sr. I'm a supervisor at IYC Joliet with 28 years, 9 months, and 4 days of experience. And I strongly oppose the closing of this facility. IYC Joliet is the only maximum security juvenile facility in the state. Department of Juvenile Justice may lead you to believe that they can place a fence around a building and call that maximum security. I disagree. It takes experience with the staff working there to make that maximum security. The youths at the other facilities are sent to IYC Joliet because we're maximum security. The staff at IYC Joliet know how to deal with the maximum security youths. We, the employees at IYC Joliet, service the most problematic young men in the system. Many of these youth have never learned to respect authority. Our dedicated staff strive daily to ensure that each and every individual under our care receive the necessary structure that the majority of these youths have lacked. Even as we house the older and more dangerous youth, Joliet still provides several vital services such as educational, religious, counseling, recreational, as well as substance abuse programs. I read the recommendations, some of the recommendations from the DJJ Advisory Board, where they wanted to move some of the youths from IYC Joliet close or closer to their homes and want them classified to go to different facilities. Well, IYC Joliet is centrally located to their homes, with 85% of the youth coming from Cook County. We're the closest facility. They're not going to send any youth to IYC Chicago from IYC Joliet. I heard that earlier today. I can't see that happening. Not with the way IYC Chicago is structured. In closing, I pray this committee recommends keeping this viable facility open so that the families of those incarcerated and the dedicated employees can continue to encourage and guide these young men in a positive manner so that they may understand that mistakes made in the past don't have to define their future.
Thank you very much. Thanks. I think we have one more on this panel.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Klimek, a juvenile justice specialist. I'd like to thank the committee today for the opportunity to speak at today's hearing. Recently at IYC Joliet, had guests that toured the facility that was comprised of legislators and IDJJ administrators. During the visit, a comment was made to the legislator stating, "I don't understand, it's just 300 jobs. I'd like to point out that the just 300 jobs directly affects 300 individuals that have 300 families involved with the possibility of affecting 1,200 or more lives. Those 1,200 or more lives which are comprised of husbands, wives, sons, daughters, and some have extended family members living with those in need of assistance, rely on those individuals to provide for the needs of their households. Besides just the 300 jobs, IYC Joliet houses over 200 plus youths that would be directly affected. These youth have visitation from family members that increase their chances of rehabilitation. Moving these youth to further locations reduces the availability of family members coming to these visits and having direct contact. The burden of time, money, and loss of family connection does not assist in helping these youth to achieve success outside of the institution. I'm sure the committee can understand that a simple comment of just being 300 jobs takes away the individual aspect and also conceals the real number of individuals that are affected. The economic hardship can be measured, but the individual hardship to staff, family members, and youth cannot. I am asking this committee to strongly advise Governor Quinn not to close IYC Joliet because it would not only create an economic hardship, but it would create a public safety issue that an advisory panel to IDJJ administrators has misguided for years due to their lack of experience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony, and we understand how important the jobs are. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know my time was up, but I just had to say this. I live right behind the facility, and my family sleeps good at night, knowing that we're safe because of the staff that work there. And I just needed to say that.
Thank you. We appreciate your comments. Next panel, John Suarez, principal. Ricky Williams, juvenile justice specialist. Kim Duval, juvenile justice specialist. Kimberly Navarro, records office supervisor. Larry Collins, social worker. And Javius Bridges, I think, are the next.
Mr. Suarez.
I get everybody.
Whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, please.
My name is John Suarez. I'm the principal at IYC Joliet. I am also the director of vocational programming, director of GED testing, also for the school district. I think that I'd like to start out really by saying I'm here to represent the students and the teachers and the security staff at IYC Joliet because it is a team effort. Nothing happens in that facility on accident, I can tell you that. I've really come to look at IYC Joliet as a place that has taken me in as much as we have taken kids in. I find every day that I work very well with security, that we become a team. And for the first time, many of these students experience academic success. We have a GED program that is outstanding. We have educators that are outstanding. The other facilities are who they are because of who we are. And it is unfortunate. But you know what? As an adopted youth myself, I know for a fact I would have ended up in a facility just like IYC Joliet without the input from my parents. They were very important to me and were very structured in my life. And I think about things like having parent-teacher conferences, which we just had, having a graduation. Those things go by the wayside. We lose those things. I think about the vocational programming, where we were able to get donations of vehicles from Bill Jacobs here in IYC, here in Joliet, and work with IYC Joliet, or work with Joliet Junior College to get donations so we can start an articulated agreement so we can pipeline our students to junior college. I think that what we really need to remember is that there is barbed wire on the fence. It is. It is unfortunate. But I've never heard one student say to me, you know, Mr. Suarez, this is very unsightly. What I hear them talk about is how much they miss their families, how much they want to get back in their communities. And I'll tell you, we deal with very difficult students, but that's okay. Because we are not here to judge them. We are here to start building up. We have social emotional learning standards, which are pushed onto us by the Illinois State Board of Education. That's fine. We would do it anyway. It's what's best for kids. If we don't cure these students, and what I mean by that is we are the ultimate alternative school setting, but we have more than alternative schools. We have wounded students. I'm aware that's blinking. I'm sorry. If we don't cure that trauma, it's like building a house without having a foundation. It would be catastrophic to the students. It would be catastrophic to the staff. It would be catastrophic to the Joliet area. Because just remember, when you're looking at those numbers about budgetary things, that's human capital. Those aren't just numbers. I would really like to hope that you all oppose the closing of IYC Joliet. Thank you.
I just have one question.
Sure.
Same question. Does St. Charles or Kewanee have the same type of educational program you have?
No. I mean, everybody teaches English. Everybody teaches history. But we started a reading program where we have students with limited to no reading.
Okay.
We have really pushed making sure that all our students, if they come in without an eighth grade diploma, they have that. We are starting PBIS, which is Positive Behavior Intervention Systems, which is more like the IDJJ manner, where we're not punitive. We're looking at things that the kids can earn and build on the positive things.
Okay.
We're also looking at putting in the virtual high school, the online enhanced learning program, taking those things away, programs that work to what actually makes these kids smart, is really detrimental.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Larry Collins. I'm a social worker. I work in the mental health department. IYC Joliet provide a necessary service. especially in mental health. Now, I've heard a lot of comments about community-based services. Well, the problem with that is that we work with the most difficult youth in the state. A lot of these youth have been in all of these community-based programs and have used up all of their opportunities to go back to these particular facilities. And we're going to let a lot of these kids out in the community that have all types of mental health issues, substance abuse issues, that is going to wreak havoc on the community. To close this particular facility that provides a service for the most dangerous individuals in this state is a travesty that needs to be really considered and reconsidered again and again and again. Because, again, we provide services. Now, yes, of course, the other facilities are trained, the JJSs are all trained, but they do not have the experience to maintain the type of level of kids that we deal with. In addition to that, they send IYC Joliet all of their troubled youth. Make that make sense to me. I don't understand that. So, again, I talk to you about keeping this facility open because it is really needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Kim Navarro. I'm the records office supervisor at IYC Joliet. I also briefly worked at IYC St. Charles in the reception and classification unit. Because of time, I'm going to skip directly to what I really want to hit on. And that is the consent decree youth. I think we all have an understanding at this point of what a consent decree youth is. I want to point out that 49% of our population at IYC Joliet is considered a Cook County consent decree youth. We have to transport these youth back and forth to Cook County, which amounts to, for IYC Joliet youth, 27 of these youth on average, we have to take them back and forth to court every week. Some of these youth are facing more serious sentences. They are looking at charges of attempt murder, aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, home invasion, armed robbery with a firearm, aggravated criminal sexual abuse. They are facing some serious sentences. We've recently had some of these young men come back to us with 48 and 50-year sentences. In 2011 alone, we had approximately 71 consent decree youth who were returned to us from court with adult sentences. These youth are either released to us on adult parole, or we prepare these youth to process them to send them to the Department of Corrections. The average age of our youth there is 18 years of age. These are young men. Some numbers for the consent decree youth. When I began monitoring the consent decree youth back in 2006, the department only received 44 consent decree youth. 39 of them were placed at IYC Joliet. Just in 5 years, that number has more than tripled. In 2011, we received 169 consent decree youth. 152 of those youth were placed at IYC Joliet. Already for the year 2012, our numbers are already up. Last year for 2011, this time, we had only received 26 consent decree youth. The number has almost doubled already. We are up to 49 consent decree youth, 44 of them being placed at IYC Joliet. As a 19-year veteran to the Department of Juvenile Justice, I fear for the safety and security not only of the young men housed at IYC Joliet, but for the younger, less sophisticated youth who will now have to be mixed in with this population if IYC Joliet is closed. I also fear for the safety and security of the staff that are not accustomed to handling this type of population. Personally, in all my years at IYC Joliet, I have never feared for my safety, and I attribute that to the staff of IYC Joliet. Losing these employees would be of a great disservice not only to the Department of Juvenile Justice, but to the public as well.
Thank you.
Kimberly Duvall, Juvenile Justice Youth and Family Specialist. I just want to say a few words from a counselor's perspective. As DJJ strives to move forward on their agendas, we at IYC Joliet see a definite step backwards in the care and security of our youth. IYC Joliet is viewed as being strictly security-minded, which at the surface slaps at the ideals of DJJ. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Let's look at the word security. I'll skip through this a little bit fast for you guys. We all know that security is crucial to public safety, et cetera, et cetera. We know that part. But security is also defined in the dictionary as a state of being or feeling secure, freedom of fear from anxiety, danger, and doubt, something that assures safety and protection. It's a feeling of something not likely to fail. It's strong, stable, and reliable. These are the characteristics of secure that are important to our youth. They have shared apprehension about the threat and closing of IYC Joliet. Our institution provides not only safety to the public, but also to our youth. They are secure in the consistency our staff provide on a daily basis. They are secure in the relationships they have developed with their counselors, mental health staff, medical personnel, teachers, and even administrative staff. Many of our youth are facing uncertain futures due to their ongoing court cases. IYC Joliet staff are aware of these stressors and aid these youth every day in dealing with the unknown. To remove the sense of security they receive daily is not youth-friendly. It only causes more doubt. The youth are concerned about maintaining contact with immediate family members and being torn away from their support systems. They are concerned that the one-on-one meetings that they have with their attorneys will cease due to geographical distances, and they trust the personalities that are IYC Joliet. Our youth are at IYC Joliet for a reason. No other institution can meet the challenges of these youth the way that we do. It's an injustice to thrust them into a situation that provides more questions than answers. As counselor and advocate to 38 of these youths, I am convinced that losing the security they experience every day will cause further harm to their mental states and the ability to cope on a daily basis. It is for these reasons that I strongly advocate for IYC Joliet youth to remain close to Cook County, close to families, close to legal help, and with the very people that make IYC Joliet strong.
Thank you very much. We're going to try to get everybody that was on the agenda, so I ask about your remarks.
How are you all doing today? My name is Javius Bridges. I'm a juvenile justice specialist out at IYC Joliet. I got hired at the job when I was 22 years old. I will be 41 years old in a few months. So saying that, I've spent my entire adult life at IYC Joliet, at that one particular facility. I also have four children. I have a wife. And I can share this with you, that I spent more time with the residents of IYC Joliet than I have my own family. So we speak on the security issue. We speak on the relocation and all those issues. But what we're not speaking on, what we haven't touched on, is the idea that the staff here have sacrificed much, a whole lot. I mean, like I said, I've given all of my adult life to doing this job. And I've served in the role as a father, a brother, a mentor, a counselor, a teacher to these individuals that come and be housed at IYC Joliet. I've given up a lot. And my job may not be the greatest job, but it is my job, in fact, and I'm going to fight for it. So I sit here before you today just to share that with you and ask you all to vote against the closing of IYC Joliet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you to, are there any questions from the, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. They saved the long-winded one for last, I guess.
Right. No, there's another panel after you.
Okay, well, what I want to do is answer some questions that the first panel didn't answer for you guys based on their own wording. My name is Ricky Williams. I'm a 22-year veteran of the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice. It has been said many times over that IYC Joliet houses the most violent young men in the state of Illinois. It is a statement that needs to be repeated again and again until the members of the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission members accept the fact that the young men housed at IYC Joliet are hardened criminals. Their ages range from 17 to 20 years of age. Committee member, Deputy Director of Operation Juvenile Justice, Ron Spiff, stated during the Illinois Juvenile Justice meeting, compliance update minutes of the June 1st, 2011, that the youth in Cook County and other centers are hardcore kids and jails are the only option. Diversions has helped, but the majority of the kids needs to be off the streets, and if we don't have a place for them, they will go to jail. These statements were made in reference to the detention centers in St. Clair and Franklin having money problems, which would result in the closure of the centers because of low populations. The rationale for closing these centers, i.e. limited funds, low populations, mirrors the reason why the commission is recommending closing IYC Joliet. During the September 21st, 2011, Juvenile Justice Commission meeting, Chairman Timberlake reported, reading as it was said, there was a meeting of the Illinois Data Stand yesterday, and he is going to appoint Data Committee. Commissioner Wehner has agreed to chair that committee. If you are interested in joining the committee, contact Chairman Timberlake. He will be looking outside the commission, members to committee members. Commissioner Wehner added that there are three areas where we use data as a commission to help select grantees. Number two, understand the need of the system as a whole. Number three, monitor the needs of unfunded programs. As the result of yesterday's meeting, we want to decide what kind of role the commission should play in the consideration of all the data systems. Volunteers for the committee are Chairman Timberlake, Commissioner Bill, Ron Smith, and Michael Millett. Chairman Timberlake asked if it is the role of the commission to take a position on the closure of facilities. If it is, what should our position be? Commissioner Vasquez added that it is an informed decision. Commissioner Griffin further clarified that it is the role of commission to make recommendation to the governor. Commissioner Jacobs added that it is important that the analysts that to analyze if it is appropriate to make that decision. Commissioner Hill added that if we want to do this, we need to do this now because it won't be an issue 2 months from now. Jim Bray reports there's union resistance because of the position to maintain jobs. Commissioner Hill added that the two facilities need to be closed now. Commissioner Bill and Griffin agree that they want the money saved from the closure to stay in DJJ and be invested in aftercare. Commissioner Bill wants four facilities closed, and the decision of the facilities should be left to DJJ. Chairman Timberlake reported that the most recent information
shows
that all facilities are underpopulated except Harrisburg. Chairman Timberlake made a motion that the commission recommend to the governor closure of one or more facilities is appropriate and necessary based on population and kids' needs. If there are closures, money saved should remain in DJJ and fund aftercare activities. Any closure decision should be based on the needs of the kids, which is a prime concern after the decision to maintain jobs on one facility. The motion...
We need to bring your remarks to a close.
Yes, ma'am. Ashley Cross State added that the recommendation of the closure, the governor to close facility is to avoid costs. The money to make payroll is not current there, and DJJ is operating the red. Closure of the facility is an attempt to make payroll for the full fiscal year. Therefore, there will be no savings. There will be no savings when the savings are available. They will be put into aftercare.
We'd appreciate a copy of your testimony if you would like to give that to the commission.
Yes, I would like to give it
Thank
to you.
You.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you. You were very articulate. I don't mean to rush people, but we wanted to make sure that everybody got heard. The last panel is Susan Lide, Rosemary Bridges, Tim Equire, Bruce Van Dune, Kim Doherty, and Kenneth Bacon. Thank you very much. I don't know if everybody knows that this commission must do another hearing this afternoon also, and that's why we've tried to adhere to the time frame. Thank you. If you'll start, we'd appreciate that. Just give your name, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Lighting. I'm an educator at IYC Joliet. I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks since the announcement was made, since Governor Quinn made his proposal. It was kind of shocking. It seemed spur of the moment. And I've been thinking about, since deciding to address you, what would the compelling reason be to keep IYC Joliet open? Is it money? Is it lives? Is it safety? I don't know, but all those things are what's running around in my brain. You know, Governor Quinn has a budget crisis, or we all have a budget crisis. As legislators, I rely on you to make the decisions to spend our money, our tax dollars, I think first to provide for public safety. And closing facilities like Iowa City Joliet is kind of contradictory to that. I know there's a lot of money to fund other interest groups, and I would love to give all my money to charitable causes too, but I have to make a decision. Food, clothing, shelter, transportation. I would hope that you would rank the spending dollars that you have in a similar priority so that we don't discount public safety. And the people at IYC Joliet serve those youth probably in the best way that the state can expect. And I'm a witness to that. I've been there 5 years, and I love my job. That's all I got.
Thank you very much.
My name is Tim Liquier.
Sorry.
there's something I'm going to add to mine real quick here that has not been hit on. It's been talked about today, but it hasn't been read. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? It is the mission statement of juvenile justice that came out in 2006. I've been around since 1992. Okay? The security officers, the teachers, me as a vocational instructor, maintenance, dietary, all the other departments that I may not put out there right now, but the whole IYC Joliet, we've bought into this. Okay? I can't speak for everybody, but I believe from what I see, you people, you came and saw our institution today, some of y'all. It's a beautiful place. It is an old 1959. Come on, look in the mirror, some of us, you know? The mission statement says, provide treatment and services through a comprehensive continuum of individualized educational, vocational, social, emotional, basic life skills to enable the youth to avoid delinquent futures and become productive, fulfilled citizens. That's what we tried to do, okay? I want to read time after time, paper after paper, erasers after erasers. It comes down to this, for me. I believe in my years of experience in the classroom with incarcerated youth, predominantly gang-orientated, allows me the right to be heard in an attempt to convince the advisory board of the dangerous mistake that would be made if Joliet is closed. If you truly accept the mission statement that I've just read, then we wouldn't even be here today. Because it's about kids, not budget. That's what that thing says to me. As a vocational instructor, I have watched the fundings go backwards in the last 6 years, yet it is recommended that adequate resources be provided. I have to have my students put oil back into the original bottles so that the next two kids can perform a simple oil change. All of us have gone into our own pockets in the school I'm referring to. So, our kids are successful in a science fair or for our own incentives for good behavior. Family travel time. Joliet is closer and easier to access due to the interstate travel, yet it is advised that our youth are housed at Joliet to be moved to St. Charles and Kewaunee. Is there really any easy way to get to St. Charles from the south side of Chicago? It has been advised that our youths be moved to the facilities to meet their classification needs. We meet their needs, not St. Charles, Harrisburg, or Kewaunee.
Please,
if the other institutions meet their needs, then why do they send us 20 or 30 at a time because of riots? We are complete at IYC Joliet, okay? I've got a little bit more to go, but I'm going to hold it off because y'all have heard this. It's just my personal emotional, my personal feelings. I'll let other people talk, but Y'all have got a job to do, and I don't want to see anything closed, but something obviously is going to close. Do what's smart for Illinois. We need a budget. We need a budget. We need to save money, but do it in a smart way. Don't close us to spend money over there or keep all the money in the budget, and it doesn't help. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name's Bruce Van Dyne. I'm a member of Local 176 here in Joliet, and I'm the electrician at IYC. I believe the proposed closure of IYC Joliet is strictly budgetary, and the only concurred with by the DJJ directors and the DJJ advisory board after the governor's budget address, not part of any long-term plan, a knee-jerk reaction. Budget problem, close a prison. Moving youth from one maximum facility to one which is not adequate and in need of $1 million in repair does not make sense fiscally, or is visionary by the IDJJ directors or its advisory board. This also contradicts many of the points for closure stated in the advisory board's letter to this commission dated March 28, 2012. Despite the numbers debated, the problem of violent youth crime and the need for a facility like the Illinois Youth Center is not going away. The news on a daily basis is proof. I ask this commission to challenge the directors and the advisory board of the Department of Juvenile Justice to be fair, set real goals with long-term plans to meet the responsibility to the incarcerated youth and the safety of the public. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is it on? Good afternoon, Commission. My name is Kim Doherty. I'm employed at IYC Joliet as the maintenance plumber with 9 years. It is my belief that it is not the committed staff at IYC Joliet who is failing these youth, but the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice Advisory Board through their lack of funding to programs that will provide these youth with life skills, marketable skills to become productive members of society. IYC Joliet has a fully equipped vocational school that is not being used to its fullest potential because of lack of funding. The Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice has failed in their mission statement to provide these youth with the skills needed to become productive members of society. The Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice Board states, youth crime is on the decline. What world do they live in? In these tough economic times, crime is on the rise, and the offenders are becoming younger and more violent. I am asking the commission, in the event IYC Joliet does close, which government official will be held accountable for wasting $2 million of taxpayer money on a roofing and new bed project 90% complete at IYC Joliet that will never be used? I sincerely ask the commission to reconsider closing this facility. It is the best facility equipped to meet the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice mission statement. Also, the economic impact on the community would be devastating. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Bridges. I'm a juvenile justice specialist. Dear commission members, I'm 35 years old, and I've resided in Joliet for almost 20 years. Since 1995, I have worked for the state of Illinois at IYC Joliet. In Joliet, I own a home, I pay taxes, and I always vote yes for increases to our public school system. I, Rosemary Bridges, am a 17-year veteran, and my husband, a 20-year veteran, and along with many other staff, have dedicated more than half of my life to IYC Joliet. My husband and I currently have 2 daughters attending their first year of college and a 3rd daughter that will be attending Joliet Junior College in September 2012, and a son that's a sophomore in high school. As a team, my husband and I have raised productive young adults. On a daily basis, I am instilling the same values in the young men at IYC Joliet. Our goal is to help the youth make better choices for their lives, and once they leave us, for them to become productive young men in society. Structure is what many of these young men have been missing, and at IYC Joliet, we the staff are able to provide that for them. There are many caring staff that pour their efforts into teaching the youth that they deserve more and should want more out of their lives. IYC Joliet is the only centrally located youth facility in the state surrounded by Interstates 55 and 80. More than 85% of our youth are from the Chicagoland area. We are able to transport youth within minimal time for medical visits and also court. Our location also makes it easier for families to come and visit their children on a weekly basis. Joliet is structurally sound and in good standing. Minimal renovations would be needed for us to remain open and operating. If the state could take down the blinders that they are trying to put up over the public's eyes and be truthful, only then can we continue to accomplish the goals that have been set for many of our young offenders. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. And I'd like to, on behalf of IYC Joliet, I'd like to thank you all for coming out. And I'd like to thank my family, whom I love. I worked with them for over 22 years, me and my wife. I love them. I support them. But I got a couple of tidbits. I won't be long. One, we know that the economic situation, not just in Illinois, but it's global. We understand that. And we know that when you don't have money, the economic structure is down, that there's going to be crime. So we know crime is not going anywhere. But I want to ask the governor this. If you shut us down today, what are you going to do next year when he needs money? Is he going to shut another facility down? What is he going to do when crime goes back up? What is his plan B? Thank you.
Thank you very much. He has one more point.
I just want to let the board know, when I started here in 1992, we had 7 vocational shops, classrooms, including CWT. Today we have auto mechanics, a small engine shop, and a custodial care. St. Charles has a wood shop and a custodial care. Kewaunee, they have a computer. We need vocational training for these kids. The money has to come from somewhere. You can't put these kids back out with a GED. Now what do we have? We have somebody with a GED selling drugs?
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I do want to make an announcement that the next hearing is at Dwight Correctional Center at 4 o'clock at Dwight High School, and I think that the tour is 1 hour before that at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock. And those that signed up today that weren't already on the agenda, I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to you, but we will put your information up on the website. We appreciate you giving it to us. And I want to say thank you, first of all, to the Joliet College for allowing us to host the committee hearing. I want to say thank you to all of you, to the staff. We appreciate everything that you do, and don't think that anything won't be taken into account for all that you have said today in a very, very articulate and compassionate way. We appreciate all of those, and we know how important the jobs are. And I want to say thank you to the advocates who took their time to come today, and to the governor's Department of Juvenile Justice for being at the hearing, and also to the commission members for being here. We would have more commission members here had we known, 2 weeks out that this was going to be taking place, but they will be informed of all the testimony that was given here today. So thank you again very much. We appreciate having you all here. The meeting is adjourned.